listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This hour brought to you by Carbonite.
Whoa.
Hey, y'alls. I have Carbonite Online Backup. It's a must for your computer, too. Carbonite automatically backs up your files on your PC or Mac whenever you're connected to the Internet. Go to Carbonite.com. Enter Stephanie for my special 15-day free trial. Plus, too much free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. Watch that raucous Larry King episode from last night, won't you? It's in the YouTube's section.
In the video section.
In the video section of StephanieMiller.com.
And the company, hello.
And it's at your Facebook page as well as the link to the Los Angeles camera and the link to Hal's camera in Chicago.
It's fabulous.
Nice.
Yeah.
Hal Sparks is here. It is Hal Hump Days with Hal. You can email us all at StephanieMiller.com as well. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, and me, Stephanie Miller, like Michael did about an American hero. Steven Slater.
Oh, yes.
Our hero. Flight attendant Steven Slater. Michael says, did he tell the passengers they were bastard people? Yes, I think that's what he said.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Stop it.
And I'm out of here. Let me get the beer.
I just hate you, and I hate your ass face.
But I love beer.
Yeah, he grabs a beer, pulls the slide, and goes...
Let's salute him with the beer song, because God bless you, Steven Slater.
What is the malt liquor? What gets you drunker quicker? What comes in bottles or in cans?
Beer!
Can't get enough of it.
Beer!
How we really love it.
Beer!
Makes me think I'm a man.
Beer!
I could kiss and hug it,
beer!
But I'd rather chug it.
Beer!
What the belly have to hear?
Yes!
Beer! I could not refuse it. Beer! I could really use a beer.
Beer! Beer!
Here's that was our... originally, Hal, that was our favorite part of the story.
Yes.
And then it was preempted by the fact that he was having sex with his boyfriend when the police came to the house.
Sweet.
Seriously, wouldn't you? That story is so hot. It's like, tell the story again, honey. So that I said, well, the mother who called me a mother, and then I grabbed the beers, honey, and I put the emergency chute down. I would have been like, yes, tell the story again.
Go, man.
Oh, it's right. Hot.
He's going to make a lot of money from this.
He totally
he
is.
He really is. And he more power to him. Show.
Yeah, exactly.
More
yeah.
power to him. I love that guy.
I just imagine looking at the cop's face when they got on there. Oh,
sick
no.
of you, oh, idiots. Okay. Right.
I
think he did that on
all,
purpose? Like, wait, they're knocking at the door.
After all he's been through, I hope they let him finish, for God's sakes. I mean, come on. That was a hard day.
Well, so to speak.
All right.
We'll be outside. You... People just do what you
keep
do.
Doing. What
oh,
you
yeah, do what you all
right.
do.
All right. Let's see. Phil writes about right-wing women, like the velociraptor I was on Larry King with last night, Dana Douche.
Loesch.
Excuse me?
Dana Loesch.
Oh, pardon me.
Oh,
pardon
it's
me.
An easy mistake. Mm-hmm. Just one letter off.
Steph, what's the deal with right-wing women's voices? Liz Cheney, Sarah Palin, Laura Ingraham, Mary Madeline, they're so annoying and screechy. Can you imagine that orgasm?
Oh.
Here now are Chris LaVoy and Jim Ward in their patented Laura Ingraham impression. This is Laura Ingraham having an orgasm. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. That's good. Yeah, right there.
That'll make the blogs. That's good. That'll make the blogs. That's,
what man wouldn't dream of hearing that?
You know, I do have a theory about their voices and why there's a similarity. It's very similar in some ways to the voices of women in Japanese anime pornography. There's this kind of, you know, kind of subservient quality, you
yes,
know, this
yes.
very...
Jim,
like
actually,
yeah.
it sounds kind of like your impression you used to do of that one cat you had in Heat. What kind of cat did you have?
Oh, albino Siamese. We still have one of them left.
Could you do it? Could you do it again?
That sounds just like Laura Ingraham. You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
How
you know
does
what?
She know
it's
that?
We've left him waiting far too long on the phone. Hello,
Carl.
Yay,
Carl Frisch for Media Matters for America. Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Yay, Carl
Good
Frisch.
Good morning. I'm not sure how to follow that.
I just was going to say, you can't really follow the Laura Ingraham orgasm. You can't.
Yeah. Meets house cat orgasm.
Do it again. Harder. Faster.
Oh,
all right.
God.
I'm sorry. Hello, Carl. Good morning. Would you like
Good morning.
Would you like to dive into the equally horrifying right-wing world with me? Here
Shall
we go.
We?
shall we? Alex Castellanos on the situation.
Alex Castellanos.
Thank you, Tom.
Their real problem is almost a sense of privilege and elitism and noblesse oblige that they have such noble purposes that they don't have to listen to people.
Who's
and they can
about?
Tell people what to do. Mm. They tell the left, hey, we know what's best about same-sex marriage. We know what's best about Guantanamo. We know what's best about health care. You don't get a public option. They tell the right, we know you're worried about the economy. Don't worry about it. Leave it to us. We're going to spend more than you think we need to. We don't
have to
listen.
Alex, you filibuster.
That sense of elitism, I think, alienates left.
Go ahead, Donna.
Wow. I think he's trying to poke the professional left with a stick as well, isn't he there?
Did he actually use
a little bit like he didn't know exactly what to say, so he brought out his high school friend. A little bit of a bless oblige.
to point out that someone else is elitist.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Right, says the right-wing commentator with the business up front and the party in the back.
Yeah, exactly. Glenn Beck on the TV yesterday.
Barack Obama has clearly been heavily influenced in his political ideology with all of the people in his life, from his father and mom to his grandparents to his communist mentor, Frank Marshall Davis.
What? To Adolf Hitler?
He says himself in his books that he sought out Marxist college professors, anti-colonialists, Jeremiah Wright.
No, Jeremiah Wright.
That old nugget.
Lou Ayers from Wings? That's not right.
With Beck, I mean, let's put Beck to the same treatment that he tries to put Obama through, and wonder who Beck spent the 80s and 90s with. I mean, he's the one that brags about having a $200,000 a year coke habit.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
So, you know, if what's good for the goose is good for the crazy guy at Fox News.
Yes, he was. Exactly. He was, I guess, one of his mentors would be his coke dealer in the 80s, which makes him so much.
You want to go really hard after somebody that, you know, some studies that Obama did during college, but he's supposed to be left alone for calling his radio opponent on the air and making fun of his wife's miscarriage. Just a few years ago, not even like during college. This was not a prank. This was what he did in his professional life.
It's because
Beck will try and convince you that he's a common man who couldn't go to college without telling you that he went to Yale after he got a recommendation from Senator Joe Lieberman.
Right.
And then he dropped out after a year. So
It's all
with Beck. He's a circus performer, yeah.
Guy Vey. All right. Glenn Beck, you know why? Because he's thinking of the children.
Taking your children.
Huh?
We are creating a system right now where our kids will be the slave to the government and debt. They will be working off to pay all of these things that we're now enjoying. Yes.
The president is the Kathy Lee Gifford, you see. He's recruiting a nation of child labor eventually to pay his...
Well, you know, it wouldn't be a week of Fox News without at least one mention of slavery in relation to Obama.
That's right.
This is Glenn Beck we're talking about, a man who over a year ago said that the president was racist and hated white culture. It's not surprising to hear him do this. I mean, he plays on race every opportunity he gets, and as a result, he's lost over 100 sponsors and a million viewers since January.
Yep. Well, this must be someone new. Sinara Coomer? Who is this new
one? Sinara Coomer.
Right-wing oddity on the Hannity show.
She's one of the panelists on Hannity.
Oh, good.
Right now we feel like it's un-American to be a patriotic American in this country. You can't fly a flag. You can't do this. You can't. If it's anti-American, then you can do it. But if it's American, well, then you have to be a little bit careful and touchy-feely about how you do it.
We're not allowed to fly the flag anymore? When was that announced?
It's just a natural extrapolation. I wish you wouldn't give her such a hard time. I mean, what she's saying basically is now that they have FEMA death camps for conservatives, that we won't be able to fly our flags. So, I mean, it's just perfectly natural and normal.
It's not that you can't fly them. It's just that that's how the black helicopters target your yard.
Right. To take you off the FEMA death camp.
Exactly. Because what they do is they fly in at night, and if you don't have an engine block or a tire hanging from a tree to stop them, they'll get right in your front door, knock the Cheetos out of your hand, and take you to a camp.
don't knock her for, you know, fumbling over her words there. I mean, it's hard to speak after you yourself pull out your own dental fillings because you're afraid that the UN is monitoring your conversation.
That's true,
that's
right?
What it takes to be a analyst on Panity?
Yes. All right, O'Reilly on the poor Fox News.
It's August, and the attacks on Fox News have heated up in the left-wing precincts. That's because FNC continues to dominate cable news ratings and news coverage. Latest is in Variety, where the TV critic there has attacked Fox News more than 100 times. The guy is now echoing the left-wing mantra that Fox News is trying to scare white America.
Yes, that's what Fox News is trying to do.
And by the way, there's a Negro in the White House.
This just in, there is a Negro in the White House. Wow.
Carl, is it just... Yeah. Can you tell when they underline things in O'Reilly's teleprompter?
Yeah.
You can always tell when they underline things in his teleprompter.
I'm supposed to emphasize
like
this word and not this one.
I cannot do this live. I don't have the proper punctuation in the prompter.
He's got voice modulation disorder. It's not his fault. But I like that even him saying trying to scare white people sounded scary. It's been demonstrated. I mean, all you have to do is wonder why they even bothered talking about the new Black Panther Party, which is like a party of three people, for weeks and weeks on end, to know. This is a network that has a love but mostly hate relationship with the gay community and will punch them anytime they have an opportunity. They do the same thing with African Americans. You know, I heard somebody.
Well, you can do it, but you have to be careful. You have to be careful not to
humanize. Do it live. Yep. I can. All right.
You have to do. Heard. You can't humanize the homosexuals while you're doing that.
No, of course not. But you know, the Fox News wet dream is that they could actually find some Mexicans who happen to be Muslim to come on and talk about the Ground Zero Mosque.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And get gay married there.
Exactly. All right, one last one. Monica Crowley on O'Reilly.
One of the big reasons why, Bill, Obama's down to 41% job approval. Congress is down to 11% job approval. And 65% of the American people want Obamacare repealed is because this health care reform was not about health care.
Okay.
It was about wealth redistribution.
Yes, wealth redistribution. That's what it's always about.
Yes.
I'm about to scream. Don't.
Another screechy right-wing woman.
I Monica Crowley is, I hate to say it, but I would much rather watch her on with Pat Buchanan over on that other Sunday morning show. But every time she comes on, I mean, at least it's worth a good laugh. I mean, I don't even think she listens. I mean, if you heard there, O'Reilly was trying to interrupt her because O'Reilly likes to save his conservative guests sometimes from making a fool of themselves.
He also has to let them check their talking points, too, because a lot of them just memorize that right before they come on the show because they don't even think about it the rest of their lives. They just cash the check and go home.
They don't need to. I mean, how many catch words did she get into one sentence for the right-wing audience?
Yeah, O'Reilly does that. All right. He does that move along.
Slow down. You're shooting our point. You're shooting our point.
All right. Carl Frisch from Media Matters for America. Thank you, sir. See you next week.
Yay, Carl.
All right, there
at
goes.
Carl Frisch on the Twitter.
Yes, the Twitter.
He's at Carl Frisch.
Frisch, right. S-C-H, the German spelling.
Harold Ford Jr., former congressman, coming up to talk about his new book and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Uh-huh.
Wow, how did this show stay so fresh?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Guess what? I am in the best shape of my life thanks to P90X. After 90 days of strength-building core exercises, plyometrics, and yoga, I'm the leanest, tightest, healthiest version of myself ever. I'm even more excited when I hear from loyal listeners who took my advice and tried P90X for themselves. Guys like Dave from New York who wrote, "Steph, for the last year or so, a friend of mine has been trying to get me to do P90X, but when you took the challenge, I could no longer avoid the inevitable. I'm starting week 5 today. I haven't felt or looked this good in years." Keep up the great work, Dave, because you won't believe how great you'll look and feel after the full 90 days. So what are you waiting for? Join Dave and I. Try P90X for the full 90 days completely risk-free. Either it works or you get your money back. Kiss those love handles goodbye by calling 800-509-9348. That's 800-509-9348. Or go to stephaniemiller.com, click on that P90X banner, call 800-509-9348 or stephaniemiller.com today. P90X, I love it, so will you. 800-509-9348.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, work it. Ow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 25
wow.
minutes after the
Sorry.
Hour.
I was working that booty on my cam. Apologize.
Work it. Get it. Chris and Yankton.
Okay, I dislocated my booty trying to do that.
Can you do that?
I think everybody's all sexed up because of your you guys doing the Laura Ingraham orgasm.
Yeah, and Chris and Yankton said on the LA Ustream cam chat, Laura Ingraham's voice has the soothing quality of a beat-up oboe made of cheap plastic and resentment.
In other words, a vuvuzela.
Yes.
Which, by the way, only an elitist lefty would bring up the oboe. So I don't think we're doing ourselves any favors.
Greg in Chicago.
Left.
Hi,
Greg.
Totally. This is Hal's producer from Chicago.
Gregory Alexander.
How's it going, Hal? I just wanted to give you a little plug and pass along a nice word of inspiration. Hal, I believe in you.
Aww. That's awesome.
Oh, that's nice. Greg was like a little prank call. Hello. He hung up.
No, that's true. That's Greg, who produces my Saturday show out of WCBT.
Oh, fabulous. I didn't know what show
guy.
He meant.
Greg is awesome. And he's awesome. And he's really terrific and was really terrific on the show last weekend.
Cool.
So he yeah.
So speaking of shows, Charlie Rangel, come on. It was like he went all Al Pacino on their ass. What kind of show are you guys running here? I'm Charlie Rangel.
Right.
I thought he was
supposed to be questioned.
I was hoping he was gonna close with hit me with your best shot. He was just like, buy your best shot. Come on!
By the way, am I missing something? Or are the Democrats doing more to ethically purge the ranks of their own party than the Republicans ever did?
I said that, Hal, last night on Larry King. It's just those annoying right wingers. I didn't think you were draining the swamp. I thought you were going to drain the swamp, Stephanie. I'm like, we are. What do you think? What do you call this?
We're preemptively shooting our own.
Nancy Pelosi said, as I have repeatedly stated, the Independent Bipartisan Ethics Committee is the proper arena for ethics matters to be discussed. The process is moving forward in a way that will ensure the highest ethical standards are upheld in the House of Representatives. So, I mean, isn't that doing exactly what she said she was going to do?
They lead the ethics panel right now. The Dems are in charge. They're bringing these charges up. They're letting them stand. They're investigating them. All the stuff that you're supposed to do. Which, remember when at one point Obama did something along those lines and was like, I'm not going to support what he's doing. That one of the Fox News hosts on Fox and Friends actually said, I thought if you were friends with the president, he wouldn't come after you. Who does
what?
That? he was basically making the Bush case that,
right.
You know, Bush would never do that to to his supporters. Why would he just back away from somebody who gave him money in an election? Why wouldn't he do exactly what he was told? They were amazed that he wouldn't.
Charlie Rangel.
Maybe, just maybe, the members of the Ethics Committee might think about telling me when they think they might have a hearing so that whatever they decide, I can let my constituent, my families, my friends know that I did the best I could as an American, as a patriot, and someone that loves this country.
He said, "Don't leave me swinging in the wind." Mm-hmm. Is what he said.
That's a great phrase.
Yeah.
I love that one.
And he did
good
say, "Fire your best shot." I was hoping for the Pat Benatar thing, but I
right.
Charlie,
hit me with your best shot. Fire away.
Yeah.
I'm a real tough cookie with a long history of country, like the one in me.
Charlie Rangel.
What I'm saying is that if it is the judgment of people here for whatever reason that I resign, then heck, have the Ethics Committee expedite this. Don't leave me swinging in the wind until November. If this is an emergency, and I think it is, to help our local and state governments out, what about me? I don't want anyone to feel embarrassed, awkward. Hey, if I was you, I may want me to go away, too. I am not going away.
The biggest tragedy are Charlie Rangel impersonators. Maybe put out of business. Please, do it for the children. Give them a fair hearing. 29 minutes after the hour. Harold Ford Jr., former congressman, next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Hollywood. It's everybody's game of strategy, knowledge, and fun. And now, here's our host,
Stephanie Miller.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. This is very exciting. Our first time ever talking to Harold Ford Jr., former congressman who I'm a big fan of. Good morning, Harold.
Good morning. I like the intro song y'all had. I'm a Prince fan, so that was
good. Sweet.
Thank you.
Thanks for having me on, by the way. You're very kind.
Well, thanks for coming on. I've been a fan of yours for some time. The book is called More Davids Than Goliaths. And, you know, how timely is this? Because I have to say, you know, your race, unfortunately, for the Senate became kind of famous for this sleazy ad that they ran against you that was clearly, you know, the race card. And, you know, this has become quite a theme, hasn't it, between the Tea Party and this White House, hasn't it?
Totally. It is, it speaks to, I think, kind of a larger challenge politicians face. The country is in a position where if there was ever a time they needed government and people in government working solely and exclusively on big problems, be it the debt, be it the war, be it jobs, or wars, I should say, in job activity and economic activity, now is that moment. And it seems as if the voices, you have some voices on the right, some voices on the left, who are just so loud, I think, and sometimes destructive, that we lose sight of what government should be doing. I try to get some of this in the book, and I talk about how I grew up in politics, the values that I learned, one of the reasons that I was not afraid to take my party on when I thought they were wrong, to celebrate us when I thought we were right, or even to do the same with Republicans, is because I learned that politics, that people pay taxes, as my dad told me, and they expect their government to work, much like when you go buy a car or you go to a restaurant. If the restaurant's not good, you're not going to go back. If you go try to buy a car someplace and you don't get treated right, you may not buy the car there. The same is true with a politician. If you tell somebody you're going to do something, you should do it.
Yep.
To follow through. And you should try your hardest to work with everybody around you. There are going to be people you disagree with all the time, but solving problems is the key.
Harold, you know, it's interesting. You mentioned your father, who Harold Ford Sr., who, of course, was the first African-American to represent Tennessee in Congress. You know, and as you say, I mean, certainly President Obama ran on this really, how do you say it? I mean, it just, you know, that's the almost that whole, his speech that, you know, there's some, you know, we got some gay friends in the red states and we worship an awesome God in the blue states. And, you know, it's sort of your whole premise, right, that there's more than unites us than divides us. Have you been disappointed, though, at how, you know, this sort of sleazy race card keeps getting played over and over again, with whether it's Shirley Sherrod's story on Fox News or, you know, it just seems to be a continuing storyline?
Look, you know, mistakes are made, and I think that the tragedy of the Miss Sherrod story is that nobody had to, even in the press, no one watched the tape.
Yep.
I mean, even the White House, no one watched the tape. And, you know, this woman was actually given a great speech. We all know the story now. The only positive from that story is that what everybody thought she said, which she didn't say, provoked the same reaction. Everyone believed that there's no one who would actually utter those words who should be allowed to stay and work in government or work in public life. So we all had the right reaction. The problem was the lady didn't say that. So we're all quick to respond to racial things. And for the first time, I thought the response from the conservatives, the liberals, the Democrats, Republicans, from Fox, from MSNBC was all, this woman doesn't deserve to be in public life. Problem was, we want to be so quick and want to be the first to proclaim something that no one cared to listen and to actually understand what she was saying. Her message, and we all know it now, was such a powerful and unifying message. And I'm just thankful that her story got out.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it's for people that don't remember, you know, you lost a very narrow race, and they ran this ad, of course, with a white woman saying, "Harold, call me." It was this sleazy, you know, sex-tinged, racially-tinged ad. What was your reaction when you first saw it?
I got to tell you, I remember seeing it. I was riding on our campaign bus from we were in Middle Tennessee going from one event to another. And I remember watching it saying, this is brilliant. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. If I come out and say this ad is racist, which is what it was,
I'm gonna get blamed for injecting race, and it'll probably alienate voters. I was making real progress in the race.
Yep.
I talk about this in the book. We were actually neck and neck, and some polls showed us with a narrow lead. And it was around that time that the former Tennessee Republican Party chairman phoned a dear friend of mine, my finance chair, and said, "Look, remember how I told you that they were gonna run a clean race?" Talking about the Republicans, they were gonna keep it on the up and up. And my finance chair said, "Yeah." He goes, "Well, all bets are off." He said, "They're about to come at you and come at him in ways that I didn't think they'd come at him." And
yep.
There's no doubt that played a huge role in the campaign. I made some mistakes in the campaign, but I don't think there's any doubt that ad and some other ads contributed more than anything to the turnaround in the race. We fought back and we made it close. But the third lesson my dad taught me, and I talk about in the book as a part of that story, is that when you get knocked down, you got to get your tail back up and get back to work and still try to make a difference. And although it was painful to lose that race and it was hurtful how it happened, I learned a great deal from it. And I hope if I have the chance to go back into politics or run for office again, I'm able to apply the lessons that I learned.
Well, obviously that was going to be my next question. I certainly hope so. Is that a possibility?
I hope so too. I live in New York. I got married since the race. My wife was a then girlfriend, now wife, was living in New York. We live in New York together now, and this is home. I gave some thought at the beginning of this year to running for the U.S. Senate here in New York. I ultimately decided not to run, but I hope one day, if a chance presents itself, to give serious thought to it again. I happen to think that it will. I hope over the next several years, I find other ways to be involved.
What was the advice Bill Clinton gave you on how to turn a short-term loss into a long-term victory?
He called me the night of the loss. The president did, and he said, "Look, how you behave tomorrow," talking about the day after the election in 06, "how you behave tomorrow will determine whether or not you get elected again. If you mope around, if you are holding grudges, if you're angry, if you're bitter, people will see that and they'll say to themselves, we're lucky we didn't elect that guy. If you get up tomorrow," he said, "and you go out and you thank voters, you thank them for the chance to share your views, you thank them for the chance, thank them for listening to you, although some of them didn't vote for you and most of them didn't, people will remember that and they'll give you another chance down the road wherever you choose to run from." And I got up that next morning and I behaved like I'd won the race. We jumped on the plane we had chartered, traveled the state for the next 2 days. I thanked people everywhere. And I got to tell you, it helped me to understand better what happened. And in a lot of ways, it was therapeutic. Is it helped me to rehabilitate and learn from it and move on. And, you know, no one likes losing, but I think about the hardship I face, and it pales in comparison to, you know, someone who's lost a loved one over in Afghanistan or Iraq, or someone who's looking for a job or been out of work for a long time. I'm blessed. I have a life that is well-balanced here in New York. I got a job in the private sector. I work some in the public sector still. And, again, I hope if an opportunity presents itself down the road, I'll be able to get back into politics at some point. But even if I don't, I'm blessed. I'm happy with what I do, and I chair a group, the DLC, that allows me a voice still in the political arena. And I just want to see my country do better and help my president make the country that much stronger.
Harold, quickly, I know you have to move along, but want to get your take on this dispute with the White House. You know, the whole Robert Gibbs criticizing the professional left. I have to say, you know, I've made some of the same. I've made some of the same points on my show. I get called an Obama apologist almost every day, but you know, I actually agree with some of those points that I feel like the president has actually accomplished a great deal, and we need to stick together. You know,
I agree with you fully. I think there are voices on the left and voices on the right who are at the extreme who create as much problem as anything else. And I've been vilified and attacked by some in my party, especially those in that same block community that Gibbs was talking about. And they have every right to express themselves. But you have to understand, the president of the United States is president of the United States. He's not president of one small wing of the party or just one party.
Right.
And the fact that he saved the car industry, the fact that he went forward with ensuring that the financial services industry didn't go off the brink, the fact that he passed a big stimulus, there's some things that probably should be done different with the stimulus, but the fact that he'd taken a big step towards reforming the healthcare system and reforming financial services.
Yep.
The problem the president has,
I'm with you. I, you know,
liberals have to understand, is not that he's not doing enough. It's that people aren't experiencing the benefit of it yet. And I think there's some other things he's going to have to do. But I think Robert Gibbs was spot on. And,
yep, I hear you. I hear you.
The courage to say it.
I hear you, Harold. That makes you and I part of the unprofessional left, apparently. Harold Ford Jr. is the man. The book is More Davids Than Goliaths. What a pleasure. Thanks so much, Harold.
I'm going to use that line. That was good. Thank you for having me on.
Steal it. Get it. Thank you,
God
Harold.
Bless.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
There he goes. Bye-bye. He's delightful.
He is.
All right.
I'm just a little keep up on him.
Yeah. By the way, Hal and I, representing still the happy, clappy liberals, Jim's over there listening to the special comment, and he's lost to us now, Hal. He's part of the professional left over there. There's no getting him back.
No, I hear that. I mean, I actually think that to some degree, one of the reasons we didn't get further down the road is because of some of Harold Ford's riding the brake on Morning Joe and shows like that on MSNBC, where he's just kind of keeping his foot tapping the brake while we're trying to make major progress. The reason the stimulus package wasn't bigger and more forward is because you did have a lot of what would consider centrist Democrats riding the brake, not giving that kind of cover that was necessary for something massive, and making Krugman look like an outsider.
Mm-hmm.
And Harold Ford was one of those guys.
Yeah,
and
no,
I mean, issue with
look,
that.
I'm not saying on every issue, Hal. I mean, I get that.
No.
Obviously, you know, we were, you know, long and hard. We were screaming here for the public option. I'm not, and I agree with a lot of the points Jim has made that you can't, it's like negotiating with terrorists, these Republicans.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there is that part of it too about spinelessness and being bold because you're not going to get any help from them anyway. So I'm not saying I don't necessarily disagree with all that. And
Ben Nelson,
I have absolutely no use for at all.
Yes.
All right. Stuart in Madison, real quick. Hey, Stuart.
Hi. Good morning. My question is, do you think if Stephen Slater was straight, that it would have been reported that he was caught having sex with his wife?
Yeah.
Yes.
You think so?
The police breaking in on anybody having sex.
Yeah,
that's
all good fun. That's all good fun.
Okay.
All right. Thank you. 45 minutes.
So there you go. He thought he was going to catch us, but he didn't.
Oh, my God. You're on my foot. All right. It's always funny. What's not funny about that? Yeah. 45 minutes after the hour, right back with Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Have no fear. Steffi's here. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Ow! Yeah, baby. Ow. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You guys all right there?
Yeah, we're good.
Don't pull anything.
50 minutes after
she dislocated
the hour.
Her booty.
Uh-oh.
As she was working it.
One more mobility scooter for me. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Just take the seat off, I guess, if that was...
Hey.
Hello now.
Hello.
Yow.
Yow.
Joe in Illinois, here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Stephanie. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I just wanted to call in. I was a little upset after watching CNN last night with...
I was a little upset after being on CNN last night.
Wow. Dana Loesch is
Dana
quite, yeah, exactly. She wouldn't even let you get a point in or Aisha last night.
Yeah, oh, no, I know. She just started screaming the minute she just hates me with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns.
What I found funny was that she was talking about giving tax breaks to people, and I just don't understand any of her points. She just started screaming over you and Aisha, and whoever the gentleman with the white hair was just kind of sitting there smiling.
Yes,
that
dopey Hugh Hewitt smile.
Yes, you got it. And that's why I wanted to call in. I just wanted to say I was... I can't believe that she tries to express political views and everybody just pretty much gets screamed over.
Yes, exactly. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. I'm glad to hear that everyone was just as annoyed by the late game show last night as I was.
Right.
Ratings, goodbye.
No,
although I'm a big fan of Tavis Smiley.
No, I love Tavis Smiley. It's just because it also, I think Larry keeps it a little lighter. It was just kind of...
Tavis not known for his sense of humor.
Well,
really?
No, it's just they were both so mean on the right. It just wasn't fun like it usually is, you know? It was just, oof.
You have to run heavy interference in those situations and lighten it up. And again, they actually choose not having a sense of humor as a tool.
It's like a trade tool
for them.
Yeah, I said to, that was the moment we were talking about. Did you hear that, Jim? Hewitt was, I said so, he was saying about the whole death and destruction Democrats, they're going to lose both houses, blah, 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 blah. And I said, okay, Hugh, and I said, I'm going to play that clip of you on my radio show in November when you're completely wrong about everything.
Yes.
And he goes, oh, you think anyone will hear it? And I'm like, oh, that was... And then,
More people than are listening to you.
Thank you!
Exactly!
So Chris Lavoie, producer extraordinaire, found the fun facts this morning.
Yes.
According to Talkers Magazine, the Bible of the radio industry, who has more listeners than Hugh Hewitt?
The Stephanie Miller Show!
Stephanie Miller.
Yes!
Despite this fact, they buy stations for these right wingers,
whether
they're doing well or not.
There's more
stations. Yeah.
So yeah, so you got to go some to have less listeners than a progressive host. So good job, Hugh Hewitt. All right. Yeah, I didn't realize that was really the worst news for him. What he said then, I'm like, wow, no one's going to hear it on my show. Imagine how many dental fillings is your show heard on?
How many tumbleweeds will fly by that show?
Yeah.
You just picture barroom
doors
flapping.
Just flapping, yeah. One lonely little past her prime showgirl, you know, with her leg up on the...
I put it on the truck radio so I can get some sleep. Thanks, you Hewitt.
That's a barren desert there.
Yeah. Not fair. I have a lot of podcasts. You go straight to a bunker in Montana.
Do you think he gets any calls? Is it like, is anyone out there? Is there,
anybody out there?
Is it raining?
Is anyone out there?
Is it raining where you are? What's your favorite caller? Somebody call me. I only have so many right-wing talking points and the RNC faxes me. Someone help me. All right. What?
Yes.
All right. Meanwhile, we
have...
That
was a nice little skit.
That was another little impromptu skit by the Stephanie Miller Players. Here we go. All right. Let's have some more Charlie Rangel. Wanna?
Charlie Rangel.
Mm-hmm.
I deserve and demand the right to be heard. And if I hurt anybody's feeling, believe me, it's the equity and the fairness and the justice that I'm asking for and not your feelings.
You know what? I don't know all the particulars of his thing, but he does deserve a fair hearing.
Yes.
I mean, why is it going on 2 years?
As soon as possible.
Yes.
Don't wait till the day before the election.
Right. Yeah. Here's his...
I know. Let's ruin our chances even further. We don't want success.
Here's his Pat Benatar moment.
Yeah. If I can't get my dignity back here, then fire your best shot in getting rid of me through expulsion. So the rules are there to make certain that we have some order, some discipline, and respect for the rules. And I violated that, and I'm apologizing for it. And I don't think apologies mean that this is a light matter. It's very serious. But corruption?
I mean...
Whatever we deny our embrace.
I need a lover that won't drive me crazy. A hell is for children. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I've got, it's like this election's coming, and I've got two tickets to paradise.
Yeah.
Right.
Somebody give me some water. I shot a man on the Mexican border.
Come on, this is a heartbreaker. Here, help me out.
Can we not mix the metaphors of swinging in the wind and hit me with your best shot, though? This is the...
Didn't you quote Eddie Money there?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, but you got off the Benatar theme. What's wrong with you?
I was.
Stay on the Benatar bus, for God's sake.
I was going for a period in music, not limiting myself to just one artist.
Oh, okay.
We were, you know what, that this is, we need to
same
have,
year of
you
release.
Know what, huddle up, everybody, we need another go-to meeting right now, for God's sakes.
Whatever
you,
we deny
we were in the
embrace.
Midst of a skit, and you got off the Benatar bus.
We belong together.
Thank you, Jim.
Not members of Congress.
Jim got us back on the Benatar bus.
And stop using sex as a weapon.
Yes.
And stop using sex as a weapon.
And by the way, my clone sleeps alone.
That was one of her B-sides.
I'm a huge Benatar fan. So
you're going to B-sides.
I'm like, and now I'm digging. I'm like, what else is there?
Album tracks.
Hidden
album tracks.
Listen, tell Grandma you fell off the swing. All right, let's...
We will be invincible. For worse or for better, we belong together.
Where's my Google? I gotta Google Benatar. Hang on. All right. Representative Maxine Waters on her ethics situation.
What I'm saying is, no, I'm not guilty of any violations. And if you're going to wrap this all around creating these violations because I failed to supervise my staff, it doesn't hold water. They don't have any proof of that. And I maintain that I want to go to trial or whatever they want to call it, adjudicatory hearing, because I think I don't deserve this.
Do it now. Don't wait for the election and these kinds of things.
Yeah, guys, said good for her. I'm sorry, but you know, but whatever I've read of that, I don't see the level of.
Yeah, she might deserve a reprimand.
She's been okay, maybe. I don't know.
But not. I mean,
she's been doing this all her life, you know, advocating for minority housing and whatever. I mean, it's just it's like, so she made a phone call and got a meeting. It's I don't know.
With GoToMeeting?
Pardon me. See, if she'd used GoToMeeting, it probably
would be all right.
Yes, transparency. Yeah. See. Okay. All right. Meanwhile, in the speaking of allegations, in the Rand Paul Bong investigation.
Aqua Buddha. Bow before Aqua Buddha.
I listen to Jethro Tull song.
Dudes, bow down to the
Aqua
Buddha.
Hey, Aqua Buddha.
Bow down, dude. Kiss the Aqua Buddha. Oh, eating some food, worshiping the Aqua Buddha.
That's the best part of that story.
Get in the trunk of the car. This would be awesome. My dad's a libertarian. He's going to be running for president one day. This could be awesome.
I resent the idea that libertarians are Republicans who smoke dope. Oops.
All right, back with the details on that and much more as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I will be there.
Listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show. It's the Chick Radio Show without the N-word. Thank you very much. Oh. Just so you'll know it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. John Fuglesang in the New York Bureau for Fridays with Fuglesang.
Holla.
I don't know why. I think we're going to sell a few more podcasts today. Only $4.95 a month.
Why is that?
You're in a bit.
We'll get to that.
Might make a little news. I don't think it's a big deal. Some people might. I don't know.
I really think we have to have a moratorium on the N-word. I mean, my people can use that as a term of endearment, like nutsack, please.
Yes.
But you harpy Harridan cows cannot use that word.
Thank you, Jim Ward.
Nutsack what? My nutsack.
I apologize to you and your nutsack. I certainly do. All right. By the breaking news, obviously, out here in California, the federal judge who overturned California's same-sex marriage ban has more bad news for the measure's sponsors, and he is not only unwilling to keep gay couples from marrying beyond next Wednesday, he doubts the ban's backers have the right to challenge his ruling. So it looks like next Wednesday, you know, gay marriage.
Yep. Mm.
Which brings me... I think I might throw up. I mean, and I'm going to turn even this into a fart joke. I think so. I think there might be some gastrointestinal distress.
Now.
Let's keep the segment clean.
You know, there reaches a time, and there will be crying, I think, on today's show, but there reaches a time, I think, in everybody's life where I've always been a very private person. You guys know this. We've all been friends for many, many years, and I've just always been very private. I've obviously been a very outspoken supporter of gay rights. I've reached my personal tipping point, and to say I'm a gay woman.
What? What the? I gotta get out of here.
I've got the gay on me.
Okay, I quit.
Jim had no idea. There, that wasn't so hard, was it?
No, see?
And it's made squeezing me feel bad. I still want to it's, Jim yeah. Ward. I mean, I think that's,
it's
I
made
think
him
that's
hotter.
Clear. It only makes Jim hotter.
Congratulations, Zach, isn't it?
No, I mean, we've been talking about these issues for so many years, and I think there is a perfect storm. There's a tipping point, whatever you want to call it, in the country right now between Don't Ask, Don't Tell and gay marriage. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that the timing of this, you know, we all have a different path with this personally. But most of what we talk about on the show, the fact that I'm kind of a single loser, elderly shut-in, that's mostly true.
That is true.
That's mostly true. Yeah. Firemen? Still think firemen are hot.
Yeah.
I mean,
you wouldn't turn down a fireman.
Yes. Jim Ward does feel me up, which I actually do enjoy. I mean, I think that certain things need to go on record.
Well,
and we were engaged for 2.5 years, which now makes a lot of sense. I didn't know that.
You're just now starting to figure things out.
I thought it was me.
Yeah, and I
call me KD all the time.
Well, you, John, you and I've talked about this so much that I've had many concerns that, you know, I'm like, I wouldn't want to hurt the gay rights movement because I think that, you know, in terms of the argument, are you born gay? Because I have been with men and I've been attracted to men, but a lot of people have in on this particular path. And so, you know, I mean, by the way, I haven't made up boyfriends. I actually did turn my high school boyfriend gay.
Yes, you did.
But, you know, honestly, that was part of for
Maybe
me.
Maybe he turned you gay.
Yes, could, but we obviously That's turned each
possible.
Other gay.
Well.
But I think my brother turned me gay when he hung me. We'll get him on the phone later. But yeah. Anyway.
You know what? We have had a lot of talks about this. And you know, we don't decide who we fall in love with, Stephanie. And I'm just so proud of you. And
I hate to say it,
but you're even hotter to me now.
Oh,
I just
honey.
Hope Kevin in D.C. isn't jumping out a window right now. I hope he lives on
okay,
the first
Okay, by the
floor.
Way, a lot of men hear this mostly. What they hear is three-way. Okay?
And says no.
It's not really.
No, that's only a small part of it.
I've found it does not slow men down and not a whit. But anyway, my point is, politically for me, the sad part of my high school boyfriend story is that he died of AIDS. He was one of the very, and he was my biggest fan. He was, you know, I remember them, you know, his boyfriend telling me he had that was right when my Disastrous Late Night show came out, and he had the magazine ad for my show on his hospital room wall when he died. And, you know, that's going to make me cry alone. It was one of the best men I ever knew. And back then, politically, I remember thinking, you know, those were the people saying AIDS is killing the right people, you know, on the Republican side of the Reagan didn't even mention it. I remember thinking, you know, if AIDS were making rich white Republican men's fall off, they would have cured it overnight. So there was that. There was Pat Buchanan's mean-spirited speech at that one convention. Yes, it was mean. It was just gay bashing and every you know. That was one of the turning points where I said, this is not my dad and Goldwater's party anymore. Barry Goldwater's grandson is gay. You know, it's a very. You know, he's the one that had that famous line everybody quotes, you know, about gays in the military. You don't have to be straight. You just have to shoot straight. So it's to me, it's part of the progression of in this country of people saying, you know, I guess the point is, you know, I've always thought, you know, do I owe everybody my sexual history? And does this, like I say, I mean, I've been out, as you guys know, to everybody, to my family, my friends. Frankly, there's a lot of people I'm thinking are going, who didn't really know this? You really didn't know this? Seriously?
Oh, come on.
I kind of figured.
There are a lot of people in the Ustream chat room saying that you completely flew under their gaydar.
Really?
Yes. Really?
Well, you know, the other inspiration, and we're going to talk to her in a few minutes, for me, my friend Shelley Wright, the country western singer that just came out, who's become a good friend of mine, and she's an inspiration to a lot of people. She said that to me. She said, you know, Stephanie, those of us that can hide, that maybe don't fit a specific stereotype, you know, she said, I didn't do it for me. I did it for the teacher in Kansas that has to take Pepto-Bismol every day because she's afraid they're going to ask her what she did on the weekend. And, you know, for the kid in Iowa that's about to kill himself because, you know, he doesn't think there's anybody like that in his town. And I think that's part of moving this forward, this debate, is that it's not just, you know, what some people say, oh, quote unquote, that freak at a parade. It's your sister. It's your daughter. It's your doctor. It's your lawyer. It's whoever. So, you know, and Chris, you know this, I've just been, and Shelley had a different path than I did, too. I mean,
right.
I haven't made up boyfriends, I've never lied on the air, I've never said I'm not gay, I've never said I'm straight. I mean, frankly, I've always been a slut. I mean, we should go on record now as saying,
and thank God for that.
She's a slut! I've always been a slut!
I've always been a flirt, and, you know, the way I can say it best to my 87-year-old Republican mom, she's, you know, you can imagine, she's like, oh, but Steffi, you're so pretty. Aren't you attracted to men? Aren't you? The boys love you. And the best way I could explain it to her is I said, yes, I am attracted to men, but I just feel more comfortable in a relationship with a woman. And so, you know, people have even asked me, are you bi? And I thought, well, last time I had a date with a man was in a Packard. It was, we went to the first.
In a rumble seat.
We went to the first talkie together. You know, but yes, I've had relationships and I've been in love with men. I mean, interestingly, I hope it doesn't hurt the argument that, you know, are you just born gay? Because I had boyfriends and relationships and, you know, was in love. I also came from a family, my mom and my sister were virgins when they got married. I came from a very Catholic family. John, you know what that's like.
I know what that's like.
I think, you know, early on in my development, I really thought, you know, so, I mean, who knows, you know, and then I think we've all gone through periods where I was with women, back to men again, you know, and frankly, I didn't talk about the men on the air either.
Right.
I've just not used to talking about the most private parts of my life like that. So, but, you know, I think it's been, like I say, a perfect storm of what's going on out here in California with Prop 8. Friends of mine, like Shelley, I have a dear friend who was, you know, the homecoming queen in her high school, came out, lost all of her friends. She's one of the heroes out there. She works the hotlines at the Trevor Found, the Trevor Project, the suicide hotline. She's on the board of the Trevor Project. And there's just people like that that inspire you in your life and make you want to join the fight in a way. And, you know, Shelley's irritating, may I just say, in the sense that she's really a great debater, and I've debated some really great people. But because, you know, everything you put forward, you go, well, but I'm such a huge, you know, I've been the Grand Marshal at the Gay Pride Parade. I've won awards for gay rights support. You know what I mean, John? It's like a...
Yeah.
But I get what she said, yes, but it's different saying you're for this and saying I am this.
Well, and that's a very personal choice that everyone has to come to on their own as well. And I've always respected your process, and I've respected that, you know, you were, this day was going to come when you were ready to make this announcement.
Right,
you've always been someone who's really, you know, you haven't made it about yourself. You've made it about what's right, Steph. And that's why I've always been such a fan of yours, because as far as Christianity goes, you cannot use the Bible to say that being gay is a sin, and it's not conservative to say that being gay is wrong, and it's an insult to God, and it's an insult to what America stands for. And you have been fighting that fight on a very public and political level for a long time, and now I'm just so thrilled to see you, you know, letting us all in on your personal
side. Honey, the other thing is, like, I don't want to make a big thing out of this. Someone's like, oh, have you talked to your publicist? And I'm like, I don't...
Send out a press release.
We can't afford people in the rest of the radio. I have no people. I have a radio show.
And that's not the way you do things.
You don't do it for publicity. You do it when you're ready, you know, for whatever combination of factors that you want to talk about it. You know, we talked about this with, you know, about Ricky Martin. It's like, you know, you don't have to come out in Barbara Walters' time frame. You know, he wasn't trying to pass laws hurting gay people. He's just shaking his bonbon or whatever, you know. Oh, well, I was just wondering if you would like to talk about it. It's like, no, I wouldn't like to talk about it yet. So, you know, I think you have to respect that, you know, that process. But, you know, I've learned a lot of lessons in this. My family, for instance, I spent so many years, you know, thinking they would judge me that I was judging them. It took me 15 years to tell them, and this is many, many years ago, and they couldn't all have been more embracing. My mom burst into tears and hugged me. I think she just thought I was alone and lonely all those years. I mean, you know, you're one of those people, you've had just enough boyfriends and you're career-oriented enough that, because I was really like, really? You didn't know? Seriously?
Yeah. You'd be surprised.
Really?
How many people don't pick it up? Yeah.
Well, you know what? There's relatives and there's family, and the family are the ones that love you, and you've got a very enormous family, Steph.
Oh, well, I'm just saying, you know, I think it's also a lesson about judging people. My family's very Republican and very... you know, but they could not have been more embracing. And what I lost is I lost 15 years of closeness with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we all know how that is when you know, not really telling, saying where you're really spending the holiday, or, you know, changing a pronoun or whatever so I think it's, you know, it's everybody reaches, I guess, their tipping point. And there are, you know, events and people that have inspired me. Right Wing Jerry from Chicago inspired me. This happened, what, Chris, about a month ago?
Yep.
He's a guy calls in that we love, that's a right-wing guy that's always arguing with me. And half the time in radio, you don't know if someone's kidding you. Like, he called in tears one day and said his sister had killed herself because she was gay.
Right.
And he wanted to tell me that he was sorry and that he felt awful and he was wrong and his family wasn't supportive of her. And, you know, I hooked him up with my friend at the Trevor Project, and I called him at home to see if he was okay later. And, you know, but at any rate, you know what I'm saying? It's just there are moments where, you know, you realize, like, we're all humans, whether it's, I mean, this is why I've always been such a big Obama supporter. I mean, I think that speech touched a chord with so many people. You know, we worship an awesome God in the blue states. We have some gay friends in the red states. So, you know, I've been afraid of a lot of things in the sense, I've never been afraid, really. I just don't. I think a lot of people don't like labels, and you don't want to be identified a certain way, and you know, so you just think, well, that's kind of private, and do I owe everybody my every, you know? But anyway, so now I'm getting all stumbled.
Well, it's a little tougher when you're a public figure.
I've drunk like 3 boxes of wine already, so I will deny having ever said this. Thank God there's no tape of it.
Well, it's also a little tougher when you're a public figure.
I have drunk dialed my own show.
Yeah, it's also tougher when you're a public figure, you know.
Yes, but, well, we're going to talk to Shelley in a couple minutes. Yeah. I mean, she said so many things lately that have resonated with me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she also said, in terms of finding someone, she said, you know, when you make choices in the dark, you're going to choose some twisted, dysfunctional people as well, because you're not, I've said to you, Chris, I always thought, God, if I'm in a stable relationship again, then I'll talk about it. If I'm in a long-term relationship, I would organically talk about it. But, you know. I think, as Jim put it best, well, of course you had to move to New York. You've dated all the crazy bitches in L.A.
So that's why I was trying to make you stay. So, I thought there's such a vast pool of untapped women for you to strike out with.
Untapped crazy women.
To humiliate myself with. Exactly. So anyway, that's my truth. There it is. It's my story. I'm sticking to it. 19 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
A mecca of misdemeanors.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Guess what? I am in the best shape of my life thanks to P90X. After 90 days of strength-building core exercises, plyometrics, and yoga, I'm the leanest, tightest, healthiest version of myself ever. I'm even more excited when I hear from loyal listeners who took my advice and tried P90X for themselves. Guys like Dave from New York who wrote, "Steph, for the last year or so, a friend of mine has been trying to get me to do P90X, but when you took the challenge, I could no longer avoid the inevitable. I'm starting week 5 today. I haven't felt or looked this good in years." Keep up the great work, Dave, because you won't believe how great you'll look and feel after the full 90 days. So what are you waiting for? Join Dave and I. Try P90X for the full 90 days completely risk-free. Either it works or you get your money back. Kiss those love handles goodbye by calling 800-509-9348. That's 800-509-9348. Or go to stephaniemiller.com, click on that P90X banner, call 800-509-9348 or stephaniemiller.com today. P90X, I love it, so will you. 800-509-9348.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the brand new Stephanie Miller Show 25 minutes
Wait a minute.
With 95% more authenticity.
Nothing has changed. Okay? No, nothing is going to change about the show at all.
I know. I loved what somebody tweeted. They said, "Oh, I thought it was about cancellation."
Yeah.
Being that it's Stephanie, I was going to guess that she's canceled again.
Yeah. Craig Mayhem tweeted that. And Portman tweeted, "I could not be more proud and crushed."
And somebody also said, oh, thank God, Keith Olbermann can sleep a little easier now.
That's right.
I think he'll do a special comment on it.
Okay, and can I say, does anyone really not think the future husband list is a joke? It's like 1,000 names long.
Yeah. Also, Bill Press tweeted, "Just heard my good friend and fellow host Stephanie Miller come out as a gay woman on the air. You go, sister."
Aw, thank you, Bill.
Aw.
Bill Press has a bad Coke problem. And I know he hasn't talked about it, so I do it for him.
Oh, God.
Just helping everybody to their truth. I'm a helper. We're helpers.
That's
here.
That's why
I
sound so
show.
Jacked up on his show.
Bill Press does not have a Coke problem.
How do you know?
Oh, jeez.
No, he's a Pepsi guy.
Yes.
All right. See, this is what I suspected. Kevin in D.C., this has only made him hotter. Yep. Hello, Kevin.
Good morning.
Kevin, nothing has changed about our hot, steamy, interracial love.
Asexual.
Well, let me tell you something, baby. I have climbed the pyramids of Giza. I have been on a gondola.
Yes.
I have climbed the Colosseum, and I've scuba dived in the Red Sea.
Yes.
But the fact that my fantasy is now true, that you actually will get with hot woman, you do not want a camera on my midsection right now.
Oh, no.
And the fact that...
Are you raising the flag for mama this morning, honey?
Absolutely.
That's my baby.
And you know...
I think he's talking about belly button lint.
And the fact that, the fact that we did have our night together and that your hands and lips were in places that are illegal in 12 states, it's all good with me.
We are the love that dare not speak its name. Thank you, Kevin. All right. Von Seal in Asheville, North Carolina. Hi, Von Seal.
Good morning.
Hi, baby. I've never gotten this many OMGs in my inbox.
I guess not. Listen, I'm even prouder now that you are part of the village helping raise my daughter, the formerly sullen and resentful Fuller. And I, you made me cry this morning. I know you must feel 100 pounds lighter, even though you certainly can't afford to lose that. Fuller has two gay aunts who have been
Fuller has two mommies.
And now she's got three. We are so happy. But I
thank
know
you.
How hard it must have been for you, and I just want to say I my admiration for you is even more today than it has been.
Oh, thank you, honey. Well, that's the thing. It's such a, when you're a private person, it's a weird thing. I don't want congratulations and, I just think that I felt like I couldn't authentically continue to speak about issues like gay marriage and gays in the military without sharing all of me, so.
I hear, now, Steffi, I have two things I want to say. One is the spectrum of human sexuality is such that no one should say anything about anybody.
Well, that's my belief. One of my best friends, a brilliant psychologist, and she's, talks about the continuum that some people are born gay, some people are straight, and a lot of people, in her opinion, are somewhere, right?
You have it.
Yeah.
I
have friends that have been married and, now are with women. I have friends that have been with women are now married to men. I mean, I think we should just all stop judging each other is what I'm thinking.
Some people need whips and ball gags.
Jim, for instance, needs a ball gag, and who's judging? Thank you, Von Seal.
I love you.
I love you too, honey. All right. Really? All right.
Not me.
Ew. All right. We will. You know what? We're going to call my coming out coach, Shelley Wright. She's the Tony Robbins of coming out.
Sweet.
Yeah. I'm not gay. Shelley Wright made me gay. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
All my friends are gay. All my friends are gay.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. That's why I have to be friends with Jim, who's an extra crispy bucket of heterosexual. Just to balance things.
Yeah, that John Fugel sang too.
Well, I'm a straight guy who looks like Katie Lang. So.
You're in a weird subset.
Yeah.
You're the Libra, but I've got balance.
Aw.
All right, I am currently wearing my "I'm Not Gay, Shelley Wright Made Me Gay" T-shirt. You can get yours at Stephanie Miller. Do we have those up yet? No?
No. Huh.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, one of my inspirations, my coming out coach, the Tony Robbins of she's my life coach. It's Shelley Wright, everybody. Famous country star. Hi. Are you playing your guitar?
I am. I just thought I'd sing a little bit to you. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, everybody.
Sing to me.
Good morning.
Sing to me.
I'm a single white female. A girl like you.
Aww.
Well. I'm crying listening online. I'm reading the live blog. I am so proud of you and so happy.
Well, we can reveal the gay agenda now. You get a toaster oven, correct, for recruiting me.
I get a toaster oven, a badge, and a poster for bringing you on board.
And we were saying we could do quite a little road show. I'll do a couple of jokes. You do a couple of songs, a little seltzer in our pants. Look, I know this is not new to you, that you have, you've been an inspiration to a lot of people. One of those moments, I think I told you this, that I was watching you on Oprah, and I never watched daytime TV. I'm a total cable news geek. And I started crying. I didn't even know you. It just, but there was some combination of just your courage. And I've said this to you that, in country music, that's a conservative Christian crowd. And I said, you make me feel like a coward. I mean, I'm a liberal radio host. We're all French and gay anyway. Everyone thinks we're French and gay. But I mean, what you did took a lot of courage.
Well, thank you for saying that. And what you have done took a lot of courage as well. It's difficult for anyone to, truth is difficult for anyone when people still don't, there are people that just don't understand that we're all wired just a little bit differently. Not everyone is, not everyone in the world is just, straight. And what you've done is just absolutely incredible. And you and I don't know if everyone knows this, but you and I have developed a friendship over the past couple of months, and I'm just so proud. I am so incredibly proud. And you've been a gay proponent for years. You've been someone who advocates for the gay community for years. And your voice has really lifted the gay community up. I've just sat here and I've just cried over the past little bit, listening and watching people's reaction. And you're saving lives and changing lives by stepping into your truth. And I'm just I'm so proud to call you.
You are, as you know, as endearing as you are irritating, as a debater and as a friend. And you shot down my every argument. I said that I'm like, but I'm not a hypocrite. I don't make up boyfriends, and I don't, you know, and I couldn't be more pro-gay rights. And you're like, yes, but it's different to be for that than to say you are that, and to join the you know, the fight in that way. And you were right.
Well, I there's no judgment, and I know that. You know, I love you, and truth is just really an amazing thing, and you have you're a big star, Steph, and there's No, you are.
I question your judgment in some ways, but however, all right.
I'm just human. you're a big deal, and there are a lot of people in all folds of America who are still struggling to be okay and to walk their sidewalks in small town America and be like us. And you know what? If there are people who adore you that think they don't like gay people. And
right. Mm-hmm. Well, Shelley, you said that. You said that, and you know that also really resonated with me. I mean, you know, you've sort of said more things to me in the short time we've known each other that resonated, you know, on a level that, you know, perhaps hasn't before. When you said, you know, it's different. You know, you said those of us that can hide, you know, meaning maybe we don't look stereotypically like someone would think or whatever it is.
Right,
you know,
right.
You said it's more incumbent on us because, you know, if people don't know it's their favorite country singer or their favorite radio host or their doctor or their lawyer. It puts a human face on something
right.
that I've only talked about as an issue for many years, because just feeling, I mean, literally, even when Bill Clinton was president, that was always my private life's private. That's why they call it a private life. And
right.
you know, I know that you've told me you're a very private person, and that's part of the difficulty with this, is I just didn't feel like it was anybody's business.
Well, until people, and I would love for our private lives to be private, but until people are no longer unfairly fired for being gay, until people are no longer murdered for being different like us, then we got to stand up and talk about our private lives. I too dream of a world where private lives do just get to be that.
You and I talked about, you know, trying to reach hearts and minds, and I said to you this morning, I said, you know, nobody, I just don't like labels, and you're like, well, who does? And I think that's what, you know, certainly you and I professionally and otherwise have been nervous about. You know, you don't want to be the lesbian country singer. I don't mean the lesbian radio host. I want to be, you know, and I think we also talked about winning hearts and minds, and I said, am I going to reach those people more if they don't define me a certain way? If they just don't go, oh, well, she's just, you know, because, I'm thinking, you know, you don't have to be gay to stand up for Gary. You don't have to be Hispanic to go, that's a racist law in Arizona, you know, so.
Right.
I mean, that's...
No, but you know what? But you are as much a labels stink. But you know what? You're as much a gay woman as you are a woman. It's just who you are, and truth wins. I'm just sorry, it just wins, and you're going to be a better. You're going to be a better. I call you a journalist.
That's hilarious.
That's funny.
I guess who else?
Jim and Chris.
And John. I called her a journalist, and she looked at me like as if I'd grown another head. She said, what? And I said, yeah, I think of you as a journalist. You will be a better journalist. You will be a better neighbor, a better best friend, mm-hmm. a better everything when you walk in your truth. I really feel like, people who have known me my entire life say, you're aging backward. It's like
I'm Benjamin Button.
I feel like I'm writing better songs now. Everything in my life is opening up. My life is in color now, whereas before I felt stifled. And you will be the best. You will be the best at your radio show now that you're able to just flourish. And truth is magical. Truth
it'll still be just as sleazy and
I want to come out as a gay woman now. Sounds great.
Now, gay woman trapped in Katie Lang's body.
Here's the caveat, and you do look like Katie Lang, by the way.
I'm glad you feel that way, Shelley.
No, you do. You do. But here's the thing. Stephanie will still be as horrible a dancer.
Oh, dear. Yes. God, it's incredible. Yeah, it's interesting.
Sorry.
With that. But, you know, that's the other, I mean, when you talk about Katie Lang, I mean, that's sort of the joke. People go, you know, oh, wow, what a shock. Like, who didn't know that? But, you know, it goes to your point about going, if you can hide. I mean, I had somebody that just tweeted and said, all of my gay friends didn't know. And I'm like, really? Time to get the gaydar recalibrated. You know, I mean.
You know what, though? Here's the thing about people saying that, oh, well, Katie, everybody knows about Katie Lang. Everybody didn't know about Katie Lang. That's mm-hmm. the thing. I was having a conversation with somebody about Clay Aiken the other night, and somebody said, well, everybody, come on, everyone knew about – no, everyone didn't no. know about Clay Aiken. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. There are people from my hometown of Wellsville, Kansas, that because, you know, I don't – you know, stereotypes, what he looked like or what – how he spoke and acted. If people in Middle America or Schenectady or Fresno, or they just – you can't go by stereotypes. And you know what? As I said to you early this morning on the phone, Stephanie, you now – the gay community now is welcoming an amazing, articulate, brilliant – these are the things I think of you. Yes, it's true. We now get to have the benefit of – now we have not just someone who supports the gay community, but we now have Stephanie Miller as part of the gay community, and this matters. This is incredibly significant.
Thank you, honey. But you know, I mostly turned it into a fart joke. I wanted to compare our you know, respective gastrointestinal. And I just was asking you, what was yours like on the day that you made the announcement? I just wanted to gauge it to see if it was normal.
It's nerve-wracking, isn't it? It's a hard day.
You know, and you. The other thing is that you know, I love the middle part of your book. You're actually very honest about you know saying, look, could I have gotten a record deal if I'd come out sooner? Because you always, you know, like you say, you're always going to take criticism from some area. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you said if you think I could have gotten a record deal, you're wrong. And I mean, I think that certainly early on in my career, that was part of it, too. I thought, oh, you know, I don't want to be defined this way. I you know, it's a very, my listenership, a lot of talk about radio listenership, it's very male. You know, you're marketed a certain way, this, that. I mean, there's a lot of different things that go into, you know, worrying about that. But, I you know, I think that your book was really brutally honest, and I applaud that.
Well, and I, you know what, you came out today on your day of August 13th. This was the day you were supposed to have come out because I believe you could not have gained your platform and had you come out before now. You did it just right, Stephanie. This was your day to come out. And I, very much like I believe that I never would have gained the success or even had a shot at what I was able to achieve as far as my dreams and having a chance to do what I've done in my career and now with advocacy. I couldn't have done it had I walked down on the Music Row in 1989 and said to Harold Shedd of Mercury Records, and by the way, I'm a lesbian. Couldn't have done it. Today was your day to come out, and you've done it. It's a whole new day for you.
Yeah, it's, as you said to Oprah, I feel like a newborn.
I did. You know, this is a defining moment. It's a pivotal day for you. And I celebrate your team. I celebrate your friends who have protected you. And you know, there's no shame. Anyone says, well, she should have come out before now. You don't listen to them.
Oh, no, I mean, we talked about this back in my disastrous late-night TV show. I remember, you know, an executive calling in a panic and thought I'd come out. And, you know, I was just doing the same thing I always do, is just, you know, talking about a gay rights issue. And, you know, and I was like, no, we were just talking about whatever. But you thought, you know, that gives you an idea that you think, oh, my God, you know, this, I might not be able to do this or this if I'm defined like this. But, you know, as you say, everybody's process is different. I think you can't criticize when or how or why you do it. No. But
the arc of anyone's process is different, and we have to face it. Not everyone is even safe to do what you've done today, and it's exactly it speaks to why it's so important what you've done today.
Well, you know, one of the other really irritating things you said to me was because I said, you know, she's ridiculously smart. It's irritating. Anyway, but I was, you know, when I sort of said my path feels more organically, more like Jane Lynch's, who just didn't talk about it until she was in a stable long-term relationship and felt like she wanted to talk about it. But, you know, you talked about, you said, you know, when you make choices in the dark, you're going to choose some twisted, dysfunctional people. And, you know, and I think you said, you know, you don't need to dig through the dumpster for your life partner. And because you're right, being the combination of being a well-known person and not being totally publicly out, even though I felt like I was out to all my friends and family and coworkers for a long time. I didn't feel like I was hiding. You and I talked about this to the degree that you had to hide. But
well, I did. Yeah. And you know, I never wrote about this in my book, and you and I have talked about this at length and how it applies, how it's applicable to your life and my life. I was held hostage by different people in my life who kind of knew and thought they knew. I had people that I was glad to stay in my life that held me hostage, and I had to look over my shoulder at all points in my life because I was afraid what they would do with this. I was too
I was terrorized.
You know, here's the one truth I know about you. You're a gay woman with a crappy cell phone. And
I want to thank my iPhone and my AT&T service here in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah.
I am buying you a new cell phone. Oh, that's unfortunate.
She's going in a tunnel.
All right.
She's being silenced.
Shelley Wright, we have to go because we can't hear you anymore, but I love you.
No, can you hear me now?
Oh, yes, I can. Go ahead.
Okay. What I was saying was I wrote about this in my book, and you and I have talked at length about how we were – I was held hostage by a couple of people in my life that kind of thought they knew or I thought they knew. I was terrorized by my secret, and I allowed them to stay in my life because of what I thought they would do to me.
Right.
And I wasn't sure if they would out me, but they certainly held it. I was terrorized by my secret.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, it is. It is, you know, a form of terrorism. And, you know, you think, yeah, whether it's some, you know, right-winger that hates you or it's somebody, you're absolutely right. It's just I can see what you meant when you said it's just enormously freeing. And free yourself. You stand in your own power. You free yourself. You don't have to. Because I think what we all think is I don't want to do this on someone else's, you know, time schedule, you know.
It's taking your power back.
I mean, if Barbara Walters had asked you 5 years ago, shall we? I understand that you old lesbian. Would you like to talk about that? You would have been like, well, not really, Barbara.
It's one of the reasons why I used to remember when she had Ricky Martin on that show
yeah.
for the Oscars.
Yeah, we were talking about it.
I remember her asking him, in fact, I think it was one of the things that kind of slowed his momentum. She asked him, and he said, I don't feel like talking about that, about his sexuality. I remember looking at that thinking, I love, and it was right at the pinnacle of my success in 1999. It was 10 years ago. I remember thinking, I want to keep becoming famous, but I don't want to get that famous. I don't ever want to get so big that I get invited on that show. Tell me how sad that is.
Yeah. I hope I don't make it, because then I'm really going to be in trouble.
Ricky Martin, are you white in a wolfers?
I understand. You're white in a wolfers.
But, you know, that kind of fear is sort of what Jesus would call keeping your light under a bushel. And it's important to remember that there's nothing against women with women in the entire Bible. So all of the arguments we've heard our whole lives are not supported by the scripture that these people claim is on their side. And, you know, this is the moral option. And being true to yourself is one of the most faithful things you can do, whether you believe in God or not. And it's one of the most feminist and one of the most American things you can do.
Stop talking about her bushel. I think that's highly inappropriate.
Thank you, Jim. I almost got too earnest. You took me down a notch.
You would not believe how hot this whole conversation has made Jim Ward, Shelley. Anyway,
listen, I love Jim, and I can have straight crushes.
Hello. Ugh.
I'm allowed.
I actually did have a sex dream about Sean Hannity, which really is just so wrong on so many levels.
You clearly had some spicy food before you went to
bed. Or some issues.
Real quick before we go, I want to say the other thing is, you know, one of the things I've always, and I've told you this, that I've been struck by with you too, is just, you know, your brains and all that, your heart, your humor. But when we first met, I remember you said, are you gay? And I was like, I said, well, you know, I don't really talk about my private life. And you were so apologetic. You said, I'm so sorry. And I so promised myself I was never going to ask someone that because people ask me that. And I was just so struck by, you know, and I think that's part of it, is just having a sensitivity for where everybody is in their process. And I thank you for that.
Well, I couldn't believe I asked you that. You know what? I was so caught up in the newness of my having just come out, and you and I were having a really great talk, and I got so excited about our open dialogue, and I couldn't believe I asked you that, and I was so regretful. And because, you know, you just don't go around, and you don't ask people things like that, and I just wanted you to know how sorry I was that I had put you on the spot on the spot like that. But I want you to know, thank you for acknowledging that, because it makes people feel threatened when
well,
you ask them
honey,
such
you,
pointed
and,
questions.
And since then, may I just say, you've become an even nosier bitch, and it's what I love about you most.
I know. We've connected on so many levels, haven't we? Hey, listen,
Shelley Wright,
I'm so proud of you.
Shelley Wright, my coming out coach and my friend. Shell, thanks, honey.
I'm really proud of you, and I celebrate you, and call me later.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Yay.
50. Wow, we went long there.
Yeah,
51
a little
minutes. a little chatty. 51 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That was strangely arousing.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. It's a beautiful.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. This just in.
Breaking, Radio Shack announces general recall of all their Gator devices.
Stephanie and Madison. Hey, honey.
Hey, Stephanie. I am so proud of you.
Aw, don't make Mama cry. There's no making Mama cry today.
Just what a strong woman you are. You know, you are just awesome.
I'm kind of a mess at the same time, and these guys can confirm.
No. I love you even more, you know, and I just want to say, I'm sorry, I'm a little verklempt here, but I hate the word, the Gator phrase, because you can't see what's in someone's heart and what's in their genetic makeup. I just, you know, sometimes you can kind of tell, you know, but... You can't, and I just think it's another creepy, mean thing to say, and maybe it's not meant to be that way, but I don't think it's fair, because everybody's the same.
That's right. That's the message. All right, honey, thank you.
I love you.
I love you, too. I love you, too. Kirk in San Francisco. Hi, Kirk.
Hi, Steph. I've gone through a half a box of Kleenex, but I'll try to keep this short. I used to work for Universal Music Video and Distribution, and I knew Shelley from the single white female period, and she and I would work out together at the Lloyd's in Nashville when we were out doing music promotions, and I here I am, a black gay male, and I was sitting there.
Oh, you're screwed.
In Nashville, no less. And I always thought that Shelley had just this wonderful, warm soul. And when she came out, it just really touched my heart. And then as for you, you're like my saving grace in the morning because if you know the lineup on Green 960, prior to you, there are two other commentators that aren't understanding.
We're out of time, sweetie, but I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, great. But thank you. I love you, Stephanie.
I love you back. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Update on the plane crash in Alaska. Reporter Chris LeBoy.
Yes, apparently former Senator Ted Stevens was confirmed to be on the plane, but they don't know if he's one of the five that have died yet. Also, former NASA Chief Sean O'Keefe is confirmed to be on the plane, but they don't know if he's one of the five that has died yet either.
Wow.
And rescue efforts are being hampered by weather, but apparently a rescue plane has just landed at the site with and the crew includes a doctor. So, seeing what comes out of that.
All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice Deedee, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Mama on the Larry King Live tonight with guest host Tavis Smiley. Tuesdays with Tavis would be lame.
He's not very smiley.
No.
Aisha Tyler, actress, author, and activist.
So if today's Tuesday, it gives us...
Tuesdays with Tyler. Aisha Tyler. Tuesdays with Tyler. She's dancing to her jingle.
My own song. Not self-involved in the slightest. I say, though, with a name like Aisha, it's very exciting to have a song.
Don't let us interrupt your snack.
It's my second Tuesday.
You know, it's only your second Tuesday.
I came in the studio, smells like turkey, and my shoes off. It took me very little time to turn into a jackass.
You're getting ready to grab a couple beers and slide out the emergency chute and quit.
Next week, I shows up at 8:39. Hey, what's up? Susie's with Tyler. I'm here relatively on time. No.
We got your tweet that it's your second Tuesday, so it's time to get drunk and trash the studio.
But right now, this is not over the desk and throw stuff. Good morning.
Good morning. How much do you love that guy, the JetBlue flight attendant? Did you hear
he
that story?
He is my favorite person in the world. And literally, like, he could have been anybody, but he's done what all of us have wanted to do at one point in our life, which is get on some kind of amplified system and go, you people can all suck it! You know, I would have loved to have been there because I would have totally cheered him. I would have been like, you're a badass, Mr. Dude in Polyester, rock out. And then he exited like a rock band. He was like, and I'm out! Bam!
Yeah, right.
Just freedom! Exactly. Yeah. They were like pyrotechnics.
Yeah. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
He jumped out. He was like, thank you, 747. Good night!
I was looking for the rock star cheer. That's what we needed. We need people with lighters, just
right?
Like...
Do Freebird, Mr. Attendant Guy. I love him.
Yeah, he's awesome. Good night.
I also think he scurried away. Now I just feel like he should have just held for applause. Yeah, I said what I needed to say. Judge
and we
me
thought
if you
the
will.
Favorite part was the grabbing the two beers on the way out, but then the breaking news this morning is the police found him in bed with having sex with his boyfriend, which makes the story even better because you know how hot that story was. Like, honey, you're not gonna believe what I did.
Exactly.
Oh, come here.
You know, here, drink this semi-warm Heineken and let me give you some business.
Wait, tell me that story again.
Today I'm pitching, baby. Let's do this.
Do it again on what you did. It. They probably have a bullhorn so you could do it. Do what you did on the PA.
Right, exactly.
So the mother who called me a mother. You. Oh. God,
so,
that makes me
that
hot.
That must have been really. Yeah, it's hot. It's hot. In my head, it's working completely. This is.
Listen, I would have forced him to have sex with me, and he's gay. I mean, I would have been like, oh, that is
just
so hot.
Yeah, the neighbor lady's like, look, I heard what you did. Could you swing by? I just close your eyes and imagine I'm somebody else. Imagine right. I just asked you for a second bag of peanuts. Now give it to me, baby. Give it to me. So awesome.
Lord,
that was serious rock.
I got
move.
Your bag of peanuts right here.
Right here, baby. Cha-cha-cha.
All right.
Now, we always keep it classy here on Tuesdays with Tyler. How quickly can we talk about testicles?
I am always impressed when a in-studio guest gets here on time in Los Angeles, in the Los Angeles traffic, in rush hour.
It is my goal as representative.
You go, girl.
Ooh, I was going to say, it's my goal as representative of my people here on the 70 Miller Show to always be on time.
Well,
I'm going to try to avoid CP time if I can.
Because we have our share of road rage incidents out here in L.A. Yes. This is my favorite story in Pennsylvania. Woman uses dirty diaper in traffic beef. State police said a woman wiped a dirty diaper on the window of another woman's vehicle during a dispute in a traffic jam.
Well, that's resourceful. I mean, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle. You know what I'm saying? Why use a new weapon when you've got one just aging in the car waiting to be
in the silo?
That's kind of an argument ender there.
Exactly. I don't even know if you're angry at that point. You're just confused. Like, did she just rub a diaper on my what? What's happening?
That's poo.
Where
on my
am
window.
I? What's my name? That literally, I have such an aversion to poo. That would be my reaction. Where am I? What's my name? What year is it? Oh God! Like I cannot even. Oh, just the idea of it now. It's just all my rods and cones and my neurons are not firing anymore.
And this is the second story I'm doing because it's about poo.
two poo stories.
And now,
a story about a poodle.
It's hard to believe you can make our show more immature, but you do it somehow.
It's my goal. It's
save
my goal
the poo stories for Aisha.
Sadly, what I realize is that you knew this about me before I came on the show.
Out of Spring Hill, Florida, sheriff's deputies responded to a crash at an intersection. A crash and injured driver and an alleged drunk driver weren't all they had to deal with. According to the arrest report, the at-fault driver defecated in his pants during the DUI investigation.
Oh. Wow. Wow, that is drunk.
I'm saying at that point you failed the DUI test.
Right. You failed a lot of things at that point.
What?
No, but here's the thing. I've never done either of these things. Well, maybe when I was a little kid, I peed my pants. That is pretty. That's a pretty simple task. You know what I mean? It doesn't take a lot of effort to pee your pants. There's work involved in crapping. You know what I mean? That's not a 1 second. Oh my God! Whoopsie! What happened? That's a wait a minute, everybody. If you could just give me if you could just stand by, please, for it.
He's not poop shy. That's
could,
for
yeah,
sure.
If you could avert your eyes for about the next. You know what I mean? Like that's work. That's so much work. That poor guy. And there's no tying a sweatshirt around your waist and walking that one off. You know what I mean? It's just
awful. Even one of my dogs is like poop shy. Like you need to give him a newspaper and some privacy. Like you can't. He doesn't do it like on the leash or right in front of you. Like
it's
he's
adorable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cats are the same way.
To be alone. Yeah. I can never have a dog for the precise reason that they don't poop inside a box like undercover. I drive by other people's dogs and I swerve a little bit. If you ever see me in an accident, it's because some giant Great Dane was crapping. I was like, oh, God, I looked at it. I can't.
I had a great thing once. It's like meatloaf. It's a man.
A man dressed like a dog is crapping on the median. That's what a freak
they do
looks
look
like.
Embarrassed, don't they? Yeah. Have you ever seen, like, they get the all four paws on, like, the size of a dime, yeah, and they look at you like...
A dog on the head of a pin, just full of shame. I'm sorry. This is one of the problems with my species. I wish we could change it.
This is so undignified.
Exactly.
Good heavens.
We should get together.
God, you give me some privacy.
For God's sake.
Oh, I love your dog.
It's bad enough I have to do it in public with a rope attached to my neck, but could you please avert your eyes?
Little Lord Fauntleroy.
All right.
Awesome.
Stop looking at my empty nut bag.
The shame, deep and enduring shame.
This is the second story I say for Aisha Tyler about a man with something weird in his pants. Cops say Florida man stuffed lobster tails down his shorts.
Mm. Nice.
Jim, that seems unwise, isn't it?
Well, if it's just the tails, you're probably fine.
Yeah. No, they're alive.
No, they're live.
They're
live lobsters.
Yes.
Wow.
If it's just the tail, they're not live.
No, I understand.
he stuck the tail part down, yeah, leaving the claws free to nip at his bits and pieces.
Yeah, and there will be bits and pieces once he's done.
Yeah. You know, it's the unending wellspring, the font of human,
yes,
like... Idiocy. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, every day you just think, there's some simple stuff. Maybe no live animals down your pants. Was there a guy, like, recently who had, like, 18 monkeys, yes, in his shirt? Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. One monkey, maybe. One monkey, yeah, you can explain, yeah, away. Yeah, I got
besides
a crazy
Jim,
growth.
Jim hates it when I do stories about hilarious penis accidents. No, so then it causes him to do...
And
then
hilarious female genital injuries.
Because
stories.
Women don't stick it's things down their pants.
Jim has often hoped for a show called America's Funniest Vaginal Mishaps.
Oh, that's a 13-second show. A lady tried to masturbate with a carrot. All right, moving on to new news. We don't do that. It's delicate. You know, we're gentle with it.
We treat it nicely. With an acne firecracker. Right? That'd
there's
be a story.
Never. Yeah. You're just not going to find it.
We're not going to do a show like Puppetry of the Penis.
No.
Look what I can do with mine, Alicia.
Right, exactly. No, never. No,
you
we're
can't
like, look
see
how
it,
tiny I can
a,
make it. Look how tiny and
you
delicate.
You can't see it, but I'm doing amazing things in there.
Look. I just made a Mobius strip. Or Mobius. Don't call in and correct my pronunciation.
Movies. Look at you, Shia, making it like those orange curtains in the telephone coverage commercial.
Mine's an Escher painting. Let's go to lunch.
I saw this in Thailand once. Watch.
We don't do that. It's delicate and we respect it. You know, guys don't respect the joint enough. I think you just abuse it and you beat up on it. You treat it like your neighbor's, yes, dog. You know, like what was that? Remember the guy who was working in a machine shop and dropped his junk into it like a sanding belt. Do you remember that guy?
Why would you do that?
We wouldn't go anywhere. I don't even look at sanding belts. Just with the fear of like some kind of terrible somatic injury would happen just by looking at a sanding belt.
Ow, hey, that looks fun.
The left side is suddenly a little irritated, though. He dropped it on a sanding belt and talk about an empty nutsack. He lost one of his, it like shot across the room.
Oh.
You ever heard this story?
I have not.
I love that people like tune in for like incisive political commentary and he's just talking about this guy's like, you know, testicular
accident.
Those
little colored balls of Chuck E. Cheese or something.
Yes.
Just
like that. And then he put it back and he stapled it shut.
No!
See, again, women would not do this to their stuff.
I'm guessing alcohol was involved.
This is why boys can't have nice things. Just established why boys can never have nice things, because they drop their nuts on a sanding belt.
You know, this first segment has been from poo to nuts. And I thought we couldn't get any farther in the gutter, and we're only starting.
What would happen if I stuck it in the garbage disposal?
Oh, that
would
be good.
Then you would try it. He wouldn't draw out a plan first. Let's do some math on this and see how. No, let's just try it and see what happens.
No, you're
real
right,
world
boys,
experience.
I remember my brother once when he was a little kid. He thought he stuck his hand in the egg beater because he thought it looked like it would tickle,
right,
and it didn't.
No. We love you, boys. We love you so much.
That's trial and error. That's the history of human endeavors.
There would be no. Nuclear bomb part. If a young man had never stuck his nuts into some kind of moving part machine.
That's going to be in a T-shirt later. 17 minutes after the hour. It's what happens on Tuesdays with Tyler, ladies and gentlemen. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
You'll cheer, you'll cry, you might even get a cheap laugh or two.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Guess what? I am in the best shape of my life thanks to P90X. After 90 days of strength-building core exercises, plyometrics, and yoga, I'm the leanest, tightest, healthiest version of myself ever. I'm even more excited when I hear from loyal listeners who took my advice and tried P90X for themselves. Guys like Dave from New York who wrote, "Steph, for the last year or so, a friend of mine has been trying to get me to do P90X, but when you took the challenge, I could no longer avoid the inevitable. I'm starting week 5 today. I haven't felt or looked this good in years." Keep up the great work, Dave, because you won't believe how great you'll look and feel after the full 90 days. So what are you waiting for? Join Dave and I. Try P90X for the full 90 days completely risk-free. Either it works or you get your money back. Kiss those love handles goodbye by calling 800-509-9348. That's 800-509-9348. Or go to stephaniemiller.com, click on that P90X banner, call 800-509-9348 or stephaniemiller.com today. P90X, I love it, so will you. 800-509-9348. Aisha Tyler is a bad influence on the kids
really
in the live
am.
Blog. Now they're speculating. What did someone ask in the live blog? I wonder how far I can get this wood screw up my urethra. It's just...
And someone has tried that.
And we all agreed that that was not a hypothetical, but that had probably been tried multiple times in multiple places around the world. If I spoke other languages, I would say it. Like if I spoke Malay. Somewhere in Malaysia, someone's got a wood screw. And
well, you were explaining. What's the website? The bong? The guys doing what?
Oh, okay. Can I say,
yes.
Can I say that word on the air?
Which one?
Ass bong?
I guess you can. Well, you just did.
Well, I was just saying
we'll
that, like,
fix that
you,
in
when
post.
You go on your... when we go to cut this together, when you go on YouTube, like, you see these videos of all these people like abusing themselves in the
yes.
most like just ridiculous and outsized ways, and you never
yes.
see it. You're not going to see a girl lay down in a bathtub on a pile of towels while all her buddies cackling like monkeys try to pour a beer up her ass. It's just never. We don't do those things. I'm not saying we're not stupid or we don't do stupid stuff. It's just we don't do that stupid stuff.
I bet it has happened, but they were so ashamed that they didn't want to tell anybody.
Right. Or all the guys were ashamed because she ass-bonged more beer than all the guys.
Right.
She ass-bonged them all into the table.
I blame Jackass.
The worst we get is, let's get drunk and pierce each other's ears. We're like 14.
Exactly.
How about with
this? Let's get drunk and sleep with the same guy who keeps blowing us off over and over again and hope that this time it's going to be different. That's what we do. Let's sleep with this guy who's emotionally remote and doesn't know anything about sex and is going to twist my nipples like it's a radio station. And then pray this time he falls in love.
Is
Let's
there a
see
video?
If it happens this time. That's what we do. That's different. Yeah. Stephanie needs a moment alone.
I just caught a visual.
Too close to home.
Three more twists to the left for NPR.
You know those small independent radio stations, they have a really low frequency.
Hey, do you get
Stephanie Miller
on there?
On the left one. On the left one. Just turn the left one. Yes, you'll get there eventually.
I can't get past the old news station.
So, yeah, and if you listen to any right-wing station, you'll get Michelle Obama going to Spain.
Oh.
Who she thinks she is.
Irritated by that. I mean, the thing that was so amazing to me is she paid her own way. None of her friends flew on Air Force One with her.
Yes.
She literally paid for everything, and the only difference was
yes.
all first ladies fly on Air Force One.
Yes.
And all first ladies generally need a little bit of security. I need security to go to the Grove. So I think that maybe the first lady might need a couple of guys to walk with her around, you know, Madrid or wherever she was.
Yeah.
And the fact that was like an outrage, I mean, it makes me nuts. And you just know they're thinking, black people, they don't like Europe. Why don't you go to Detroit or something? There's malls in Detroit. She could have shopped in Detroit. You know, it's like, come on. She's the FLOTUS. You know what I mean?
We apologize to our listeners in Detroit. Where
yes, all seven of you. Oh, God, it just got worse. Hello. Feel free to send your angry mail to StephanieMillerShow.com.
Now I'm changing my vacation from Madrid to Detroit because of you.
Sorry.
All right. By the way, here is Rush Limbaugh on that, by the way.
Why is there no outrage over Michelle Maybell Obama with all these expenditures? 60 Secret Service people, by the way,
my.
Oh, Lord.
On this trip to Spain. The answer is... patently obvious.
Huh?
And as far as the media is concerned, Mrs. Obama deserves this. Look at our slave past. Look at our discriminatory past. It's,
wow.
It's only fair that people of color get their taste.
That's what it is.
Of the wealth of America, too. That's your answer.
Payback for slavery.
Payback for slavery, yes. Yeah. Michelle Obama single-handedly, I'm going to take out slavery on the ass of America by going to Spain. That'll make up for 400 years of oppression.
Look at me eating tapas.
Yes,
huh?
Look at my tiny figurines. Look at this figurine. Don't we all feel better now, black people and brown people and white people who actually feel things inside? Everybody? Come on.
Hola, I'm taking my own reparations.
Hola, I got deportees at acres and you don't get right here. I mean, come on. Olay, ha. It's just so
40
stupid.
Acres of mule and sangria.
Oh, God. I really, sometimes, don't you fantasize about meeting people? Like, what, have you met Rush Limbaugh?
No, I have not had them.
No, so like, what is your what's your internal like? Because
he just says irritating things about me that I don't understand. Just to, so I'm meeting him in person would only
on the Stephanie Miller radio show in suburban America.
What does that mean?
This morning.
I don't know.
You're on a malls.
And then the other thing.
It means there's a Jamba Juice somewhere nearby.
Yeah.
And this that he thinks I know what it means, and I don't know what it means.
Stephanie Miller is a babe, by the way. I must.
Okay, that's real.
There's more.
Stephanie Miller, who is a babe on some days, she knows what I mean.
No, she doesn't.
Meaning
what does I know
mean?
What he means? No, I don't.
But I don't know what that means either. Some days I'm a babe, and then some days I'm a man. What does that mean? I don't understand what that means. I mean, I know the feeling, but I don't understand
I'm not sure
what it means.
Which is worse, if he actually believes all the crap he says, or if it's just an act?
Well, I actually felt that way about Ann Coulter. She says the most outrageous things, and I think sometimes she says them because she knows they're going to get.
Yeah, of course.
Which I find, I don't know. I can't decide either because I think okay it's theater, so maybe there's some kind of sophistication involved.
Right. Right? Oh no, I knew her years ago. I've said this many times on the air. She at some point went, oh, I have to say crazier to sell books.
Yeah,
and get on TV more.
I'm not gonna. Yeah. But then now she's being out crazy by Michelle Malkin, who, by the way, I would kick right in the nuts if I met her in person. So Michelle, don't let me catch you at the Beverly Center because right in the nutsack is where my foot's going.
Well,
we're a cup. Lady.
Unless they get rid of the 14th Amendment and then all the anchor babies are gone, so you'll have to go somewhere else.
Throttle.
29 minutes.
By the way, Rush Limbaugh, I'm kicking him in his vagina.
Right back on Tuesdays with Tyler.
Sure, like S&M magazines. S&M is my abbreviation for
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, baby. It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
What are the politics of dancing, anyway?
I don't know.
Oh, that one period of irony in pop music. But it's over. What's the safety dance? We don't know. It was a confusing time
it's
for all of us.
Something to do with dwarves. I don't.
Aisha Tyler is here with us live in studio. It's Tuesdays with Tyler.
I'm so happy to be here.
Me too.
I'm going to prepare more next week. I'm going to bring in some index cards. That's my plan. My plan for next week is I've got index cards and a pie chart.
This is the poo section and this is the
scrotum.
Genital scrotum section.
40% scrotum.
Hello, Art.
Hello, Art.
Art in Chicago.
It's Thinky.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Her Highness took a nice trip, didn't she?
Oh, Michelle Obama, Her Highness.
I hate to say this, but you liberals are very hypocritical, aren't you?
Are we?
When Nancy Reagan bought silverware and new glasses for the White House, you guys had a conniption.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. She spent money. And I'm not a cracker. Tell your buddy on the side of you that, hey, you know what? I'm not a cracker. I'm an intelligent person.
Who's used that word?
But you don't remember that, do you?
Who's used that word?
Bye, cracky. Tell that sidekick over there.
Who used the word cracker? I use that word, but only when I'm having sex with my Caucasian husband. Never as an insult. Only as sexy pillow talk.
Call me a cracker.
Yeah. Yes. Who's my cracker?
Never a
was an insult.
Give me a piece of that cracker ass.
Bring me off a piece of that cracker, baby. Bring me off the saltine. Never as an insult. Never. I would never. Come on now. I love the white people. I sleep with one every day.
By the way, could his voice have been more irritating?
I loved him. He was a literally, that's like a 23-year-old stand-up comedian. Listen, you crazy. Like, who talks like that? Like, if you were going to make fun of a crazy old conservative guy, you would make that voice up, and that was a real person.
Listen, Missy.
You young clowns, you hippies with your grass, with your lids of grass, and your crazy sex and your condoms and your voting.
Yeah, Mike, shooting up the grass.
Mike in Madison on Vaginal Mishaps. Hello, Mike.
Well, I've been laughing so hard I almost forgot what I was calling about.
Yes.
I had my father-in-law, who's a retired physician, internal medicine. Throughout his years working in and out of different emergency rooms, had an instance where there was a woman brought in with a wine bottle inserted.
Oh no.
Ooh.
Listen, that's why I switched to the box, so to speak.
The vacuum created was so strong that they couldn't remove it without cracking the bottom of the bottle to relieve the suction.
Oh, Lord.
And then remove the bottle.
Talk about box wine.
Oh, God. Okay, well, first of all, I am one of those mature progressives who can admit when they are wrong.
Yes.
But I don't think that a wine bottle would have been my choice,
No.
A little narrow.
Glass.
Yeah,
that
and glass.
Fatty Arbuckle in a lot of trouble.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Fatty Arbuckle.
All right. Comedian extraordinaire, Aisha Tyler, you have to get your take on this Al. I know what happened last week, but Jim, how much did you love Al Franken making faces behind Mitch McConnell?
Oh, I didn't see this. So
I haven't
That's
seen it,
so
I heard about
great.
Rolling his eyes.
Oh. I love him.
You would have been
so
doing
much.
Worse than that, Jim. You'd have been the turtle, impression.
From my back.
Come and give me some letters.
Don't you feel that way though all the time? Like you just sometimes people are saying things and everyone else is maintaining a straight face, and you're like, does no one see how stupid this is?
I know.
Can't someone just be like in the background? Somebody just make a nice mouth fart. Just appropriate social commentary.
Listen, Al was a radio host and made it to the Senate. If I make it to the Senate, I'm taking my box and I'm going to have sound effects. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Mitch. My bad.
Just bring a clown medley.
I love that one. The Bush tax cuts are free. I love that. Wow. I love Julie sent the story from they saw it reported on Fox, where it was the biggest story in the world that Al Franken made faces by Mitch McConnell. And, he said, those tools really hold your profession in particular contempt. They say comedian like Seinfeld says Newman.
Newman. Oh, Newman.
Speak up, McConnell.
You lie.
What a douche.
All right. Celebrity stack. Justin Timberlake thinks a woman's body odor is sexy. He likes the stank.
If he wasn't at the top of my list, he shot right up there. Hello, Justin.
He has previously romanced Cameron Diaz and Britney Spears, who I think probably smells like, I don't know, Cheetos and...
and despair. What's that you're wearing? I give up.
And the Fulton Fish Market, I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'm just a guess that she
Poor
does.
Brittany.
I don't
need. You know, she probably smells like, it's like, the, you know, the smell of like a third grade, like Play-Doh. You know what I mean? Like, we're just like Play-Doh and simplicity. Like,
yes.
I can't figure out how to make the door open. I'm just so confused all the time.
He tells Cosmo, some people say BO can be an aphrodisiac, and I agree. It depends on the body the odor is coming from. It's a long-term intimate thing. You don't want to be the first thing you smell when she comes into the room. It's about layers. Layers meant to be discovered.
You know, I love Justin, but I don't feel like I wanted to know all that about him.
Yeah.
No. I just, all my pictures.
His thoughts on personal freshness.
My head pictures are all jacked up now. Because you have, I have a set. You know, you have, your go-to set, your little, you know, in your head, you got the little, index cards of, what you're going to work it out to. And now every time I think about Justin, I got to think about him thinking about the layers on Britney Spears.
Cosmo is that they demand those kind of details. That's the kind of magazine. I'll never forget my favorite story ever in Cosmo. How to exercise your love muscles to control your man.
I'm going to get on top and then I'm going to squeeze you until you take out the trash.
Do the laundry or I'll snap it off.
I've got, now talk about a belt sander. I made my own rim shot just...
I got that.
Just
you don't have to
beat you to it because I thought, I'll humiliate myself before I'll allow you to humiliate me.
All right. D-listed writing up. Mia Farrow was one brave bitch for taking on Naomi Campbell.
Wear a helmet.
Mia, you gotta hear the story. It's at the Hague trial.
This is fantastic.
Yes. Mia Farrow has probably licked on Woody Allen's crotch worm with all the lights on, so obviously she's been through some scary in her life, but nothing can compare her for Naomi Campbell. The wrath she's going to bring upon her when she finds out about this. Naomi answered questions at the war crimes trial of Charles Taylor, and she had said she didn't know that the dirty-looking stones...
Yeah, she called them pebbles. Sure, a man shows up in the middle of the night and hands you a velvet bag full of pebbles. Sure, use these to align your chakras. That's what happened, lady.
They're runes.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Toss them and learn your future. You're going to be in The Hague in 20 years, lying through your teeth.
So Naomi said she didn't learn they were from Charles Taylor until she had breakfast with Mia Farrow. Mia Farrow testified at The Hague and said Naomi is the one who told her the diamonds came from... Oh, dear.
And she didn't call them a pebble, right?
Naomi.
She didn't call them pebbles to Mia. She said, this dude brought me a bad diamond. God damn! That's my Naomi Campbell impression. Clearly, I'm not an impressionist. He brought me a big-ass diamond in the middle of the night. What's up with that?
Naomi Campbell for the hour.
Mia,
the other one.
D-listed writing, Mia better crawl into a bathtub full of holy water because when you call out Naomi Campbell, you call out the devil.
Thank God that rotary phones are generally obsolete.
That's what
taking it in the face with an nine dialer.
That's what D-listed says. On another note, do you think Naomi Campbell wishes she were famous in the early 80s rather than now? I mean, blackberries are getting lighter and smaller.
Exactly.
This has to be a problem for her evil ass.
I just got hit in the face with a palm tree. I felt nothing.
Did you just hit me with something?
I bet Naomi is sending her assistant out right now. Go to every vintage store you can find and buy me a box of vintage phones. Just go to
find me some pay phones.
Imagine the damage she could do with one of those first, one of the first cell phones.
The old ones? The suitcases.
World War II walkie-talkies.
If you go back and you look at the first Lethal Weapon, because you want to remember Mel Gibson before he was a total jackhole, you'll see that they pull one of those giant phones out. It's like a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm going
to
pick...
You're holding Wonder Bread to your ear. Hello?
I'm speaking to this ham. Hello. Melton 4273, are you there?
Aisha Tyler, I don't know if you've ever been a supermodel, but you look like one, so I will
do
this story for you. Kate Moss plans to launch her own line of jam. She looks like quite the aficionado of sweets, doesn't she?
She really does.
She ate a Tic Tac once in 1980.
There'll be like a blend of flavors, currant and
blackberry
cocaine.
Blackberry and cocaine, yeah. Right.
Exactly. Apricot OxyContin, my favorite. Spread that on a piece of toast and you feel nothing.
This is like a story about what bored supermodels do, I guess, when they're not supermodels.
Just like she's sitting around smoking. She hasn't eaten in a week. I think we should do something with jams. Should we make something? Normal people who eat and things seem to like jams. They seem to enjoy the jams.
Can you make marmalade?
People that actually eat things seem to...
Right, people who eat food like jams, and then I'll be on the cover, and I'll be naked, and then people go, oh, look,
I love this.
A special owl.
I love this.
Jams.
A source said, Kate bought a load of expensive equipment because she's always been keen on the idea of making jam.
I'm going to do some cooking. What do people do when they're not doing blow and having sex with really dirty rock and rollers? They make jam.
Kate Moss's recipes.
Maybe she can sleep with a guy who looks like more of a hobo. Honestly. They have sex and then she gives him a quarter. Go get yourself a cup of coffee. And maybe a hand towel for your jobby job. He's so disgusting looking. Dude, even in high school, and in high school, man, my standards were low. Even in high school, I would have been like, maybe you could shower and get new teeth, and then we could talk later.
All right. One more from D-listed. Rod Stewart's sperm just won't quit.
ain't that always the case?
D-listed writing, Kimbo and Sean Stewart will soon have a new sibling to train on how to carry on the family name by being a drunk, useless mess whose one skill is how to neatly snort a line of the bad... off a toilet seat while holding the stall door.
Train spotting.
Because Rod Stewart has done it again, Rod Stewart announced that his fishes. I've never heard sperm referred to as fishes.
Me neither.
He has announced that his fishes still know how to charm an ovary after all these years.
Oh,
yes, his
Lord.
Fishes have to stop for directions and recharge their segways along the way, but they still get the job done. He and his 39-year-old wife have announced
because he's a rich geriatric, so his bleep fishes have a segue. All the poor old bleep fishes have to walk with a walker with the tennis balls on the bottom. But Stuart's good at segues. Stop humping, please, old guys.
Jim, this is a story for you. Spike Lee is calling a lie a U.S. government report that 75% of the spilled Gulf oil is gone.
Well, yeah, it's not gone. It's mixed with dispersants and sitting in the bottom of the Gulf.
Right, exactly. Yeah. My shrimp tastes like fuel. Yeah. I literally have turned into, I was already that person, but now I've totally turned into that person where I have to like, where did this shrimp come from? You know what
I mean? How many miles to the gallon does this shrimp get?
We've got the high octane prawns over here.
We'll see what happens when the hurricane season hits full force. Crops start dying.
I ate a plate of oysters and I lit my urine on fire.
46 minutes after the hour.
But they get great mileage.
Back with the remaining moments of Tuesdays with Tyler, which is on fire.
Yes!
On the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Won't you take me to Funky Town? Won't you take me to
Find Funky Town?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. In the midst of Tuesdays with Tyler, AishaTyler.com is where you can find out all things Aisha Tyler. And we're wondering if we've started a major chick fight, if Michelle Malkin is going to hear that Aisha Tyler will like to kick her in the nuts.
I'm sure that her web crawling minions will have discovered that statement and passed it on to her in her dark and blackened lair of doom.
We have set, as we call it, the right wing moron alert system off. That happens all the time with me. I make a little joke and then it's Newsbusters. Miller calls for the
threatened violence.
Violent liberals on the loose again.
They're gonna have a restraining order against me. She threatened to kick Michelle Malkin in her testicles, thus verifying that she actually has testicles. And then that would be a victory for our side, I think.
Oh, thank God. Justin in Los Angeles finally knows what the gay agenda is. No, but we cannot find a copy. Justin.
Well, I do have the gay agenda, but I have a quick comment about the Britney Spears body odor first.
Yes.
I believe the proper scent would be cat food and cigarettes.
Oh, God. It's old cat food. It's kind of right on the money,
cat food that's been in the sun.
Yeah, it's like all the little crispy edges around.
And the gay agenda, if it's anything like my personal heterosexual male agenda, it's got to be about getting laid. That's
pretty much, buddy.
Yeah.
There you go.
Pretty much.
And done. And see. All right. So did you see I love this. Did you see that little Fox mishap where Greta Van Susteren was talking about, who was she talking about? Hang on a second. She ran a picture of Shirley Sherrod was used to, she was talking about Maxine Waters.
Right.
Oh, she used a picture of Shirley Sherrod and talked about Maxine Waters?
Yes.
Oh,
and you
I
remember
love that.
They ran footage of John Conyers a while back when discussing William Jefferson.
Any black will do, really. Just a representative brownie. Just get a brownie. What brownie do we have? Here we've got a picture of 50 Cent. Let's talk about the president and what he's done recently.
I love Greta Van Susteren said it was a doozy of a mistake. Like, no, it wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
It's Fox News.
How does that keep happening?
I'll get a brownie up
Whoops,
there.
We any, put a D brownie. Behind his name any in the latest news.
Naomi story. Campbell was in Spain, apparently, traveling on the... as the FLOTUS. And then she hit somebody there with a phone. Because in Spain, they're still doing the dial 9.
This will come as breaking news to you. Analysis. Tea Party supporters harbor more racial resentment than other conservatives. I love that they thought they had to do an analysis anything other than the pictures of the president with a bone through his nose.
Yeah.
Really?
Right, exactly.
In addition to that,
that wasn't enough of a cue for you? Well, we asked them some questions, and then we were able to unearth.
The picture of the watermelons on the White House lawn, that was
racial feelings. Yes.
More than twice as likely as the general public to believe the policies of the Obama administration favor blacks over whites. They're half as likely as the general public to believe that white people have a better chance of getting ahead in today's society.
And three times as likely to drop their nuts on a sanding belt.
Almost twice as likely as the general public to believe that too much has been made of the problems facing black people.
Oh, good times. Good times.
I believe he has a deep-seated hatred towards white people.
Dude, that's another
including
guy.
Including his mother.
I would like to just throttle. Throttle. Talk about strengthening your vaginal muscles so you can control your man. I'll snap that off with my hand. Motherfucker.
And you have threatened a lot of prominent conservative generals this morning, Aisha Tyler.
What's happening with me? I need to come in a little later in the day when I haven't been drinking.
But Aisha Tyler was serious about kicking Rush Limbaugh in the vagina.
I really was. She meant. I meant that one. Yes.
All right. Carly Fiorino announces that she would vote no on Elena Kagan because she doesn't have enough experience. Like, for instance, the experience Carly Fiorino has running a company into the ground.
Yeah. Into the ground. And then jumping up and down on it like Daffy Duck. Down, down, down. Mine. Die.
That's so yesterday.
She was carried out on her dais.
Condé Nast listed Carly Fiorina as one of the 20 worst American CEOs of all time, but that was...
Oh, come on. Hyperbole.
So yesterday.
So yesterday at 11 o'clock when I was a failure. Today, I've showered and I'm a different woman. I'm a new person. Look at my haircut. I'm totally different.
She has today's hair, for sure. Michael Steele, did you hear this little, that they're going to win? They're going to win big in November.
Get on the bus. 117 cities, get on the bus.
He likes to be black when it's convenient.
Every state, get on the bus. We're going to win in November. Oh, and Nancy Pelosi will be in the back of the bus.
Oh, wow. Hey! The angry guy from Michigan had just called should feel vindicated. I am not a cracker, and I will not sit on the back of the bus. With my box.
That's just how we roll, baby.
With my box of China.
Yeah, I love when he does that. What was the name of his blog, Jim? What up?
Oh, God. It's like he went on Wikipedia. What do black people do? Negroisms. Negro colloquialisms for 100, Alex.
Andre.
No, sorry.
Andre in Chicago on Gay Marriage. Hi, Andre.
Hey, what's happening?
Go ahead. Not much. Go ahead.
Hey, first of all, I just want to point out that being a cracker is not that bad. They are very delicious.
They are. I tell my husband all the time when we're doing dirty stuff.
I'm going to lick the salt on my cracker. Right.
It's filthy in here. Okay.
All right,
sorry,
go ahead.
What?
Go ahead, Andre.
I just want to point out that the separation of church and state doesn't actually exist in any concrete part of American law that's not open to interpretation. I'm not saying that, that's an argument against gay marriage because they still have no case.
Right.
But separation of church and state doesn't actually exist in the United States without interpretation.
Well, not so many words.
Except for the part in the
Congress shall enact no law.
That part in the Constitution, those two parts, that part?
Yeah, well, I think that argument to me seems pretty simple. It shouldn't have anything to do with religion, the right to marry or not. Ted Olson says he will persuade the Supreme Court on gay marriage. He said, the other side really produced no evidence at all. This is an overwhelming record that supports the fact that individuals are being hurt and that California has no rational basis for continuing the discrimination. When that gets to the Supreme Court, I think that will be persuasive to all the justices on the Supreme Court.
I'll say, to bring things down a thousand, that the arguments that are being made against gay marriage are the same arguments that were made against miscegenation. That's the old-fashioned, that's the fancy word.
Licking the salt off your cracker.
Yes, licking the salt off your cracker. It used to be illegal. I don't know if you know that. And thank God we've come a long way, and licking salt off crackers is entirely legal. I can march down the street with my cracker, and no one throws things. I mean, literally, you know. I've been married to this. I've been with same man since I was 19 years old. We've been married for 16 years.
Yes.
There was a time when people said that was unnatural, that would never last. Marriage is a human right. If you want to screw up your life and have sex with the same person forever, you should be entitled.
Go for it.
Yes, go nuts.
Tuesdays with Tyler was filthy and delightful. Aisha Tyler.
Oh, come visit me and see me tonight at Halloween Improv and this weekend at the Denver Improv. And thank you, Stephanie.
Thank you, baby.
Thank you for having me here.